Talk Radio. This is Ngoni Al standing in for Mr. Talk on Freedom Friday. Hope everybody's doing great out there. I'm looking forward to hearing what's on your mind. You bring the topic today. Yes, we're going to miss Mr. Talk's great laugh, so I get to play with his toys today. So how about a little laughter to start off? All right, everybody. We're going to have a great show today. I'm going to get the show started here. We're going to have some guests coming on the line soon. We've got AVA Joe in the chat room and living the Divalicious life. That's a great, great screen name. Hi, everybody. I guess we'll get started with the Friday mix, and we'll come back and do the quote of the day. And then we'll get the show started, find out what's on your minds today. All right, here we go. The Friday mix coming up.
Play this record as frequently as possible. Then, as it becomes easier for you, play the record once a day or as needed.
It feels good. Play it for you. You see,
I hope everybody enjoyed that Friday mix from Mr. Talk. Thanks, Mr. Talk. You always give us some great music to start off your show. I'd like to give a shout-out to AVA Indiana's in the house, Enjoying Life, Guest 1404, 1405, and Prophesizer, and Living the Devalicious Lift. All right, I'm going to bring in my handsome, intelligent co-host, and he's going to share with us the quote of the day. Are you there, Joe?
Yep. Thanks, Ngoni. Let me see if I'm on the air.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air. I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm hearing myself. Good.
All right. You got your phone. I want to thank you for being here and helping out today. I'm excited to hear what's on everybody's mind, and I'd love to hear what you brought for the quote of the day today.
Okay.
When you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't search for money. I'm doing one of my own.
Wonderful.
Okay. So it's going to be a personal quote that, of course, will be quoted throughout the millennium.
Wow.
Yeah. And here it is, folks. Is everybody on the edge of their seats? Well, good. First, let me read what Living the Devalicious has to say. It's not the season, honey. Working on planning a plan so we can get out of the garden goose on this year. You will become hooked. Okay. Thank you, Diva.
Hello.
All right. So here's the quote of the day, folks. Live for today, but make plans for tomorrow. Nice and short and sweet.
But that's profound, Joe. That's right. We only have today, but we do have to plan for tomorrow because we want tomorrow to come.
That's right. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, so plan as though it is coming for tomorrow, coming tomorrow, but live hearty today, because nobody's guaranteeing you the next 24 hours. And for those who are lucky enough to have people who are in love with them and with whom they are in love with also, treasure those relationships, because they can be taken away from you by a car crash, heart attack, carjacking, anything else that's nasty in this world. Don't think that it can't happen to you. So when next time you take a look at your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, tell them how much you care about them, how much you appreciate them, and show it. Just don't talk about it. Show it. Okay? It could make the relationship even stronger. So, now that I've said the quote of the day, all right, Miss Ngoni, the show is yours.
Well, thank you, Joe, for that profound quote. I mean, you really grabbed my heart, and everything you said is so true. You know, we often take those that we love for granted, our friends, our family, and we just feel like, you know, there's going to be another day and another day and another day, but you made a very, very profound point, and I want to thank you very much for that.
No,
and so
no.
You, that's an authentic quote from you, is that right?
Yeah, that's from me. That's one of the things that I like to live by.
Well, that's wisdom, for sure. Hey, did anybody out there know what the music was?
Well, I knew the temps. I forgot the other one that hit me. I just forgot the other. But there are a couple of them I forgot.
Right.
The old temps,
well,
too, not the ones that came out in the 70s. The old 60s temps, those were good.
Yes. Always good sounds from Mr. Talk. Well,
mm-hmm.
Joe, do you have anything pressing on your mind today? Since today's Freedom Friday, everybody gets to bring their own topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm always into, you know, my ballywick is relationships or politics. Unfortunately, politics nowadays isn't just boring. Some people would say it's exciting. I say it's dangerous. So anybody who has any kind of topic that they would like to bring, you know, you can bring your fat asses on the line, both male and female. Anybody who wants to talk.
Oh, excuse me, Joe. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
So anybody who wants to come on in with that, or if they want to talk about relationships, let's get it started before Lo gets here and starts talking about the truth. All right?
Well, it's interesting that you said that, Joe, because I was looking around. You know, you weren't sure if you were going to join me today. So
right.
If you don't mind, I would like to share something that I found that brought Lo to mind. It says, by all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. That's by Socrates.
I don't like the way you preface it by saying, yeah, this is for Lo.
Oh, my goodness. We got to stop picking on Brother Lo, you know?
Now I want Lo to come in here. He's going to say, look, if you don't like what I've got to say about my philosophy, okay, I'll be glad to put my picture on Facebook and meet anybody anywhere. So come on
well,
in, Lo.
Yes, he'll be coming in, you know.
Well, I got to start on him before he starts on me with that. Hello, Whitey. You know, so got to start in on him first. But we always,
well,
of course. Well, I can't say always, but, you know, I enjoy Lo. And I'm sure we've got more people coming. Oh, Bible of Truth, how you doing? So we've got some more people coming in, and we'll have, and N2 is here. Too bad he had to change his name. Hey, N2, do you like this name of Galactic Scientist better or Into Knowledge? I happen to like Into Knowledge better, you know. But, well, of course, with B.T. Orvins and Gunny. You know, BTR is mucking everything up. Everything.
What's going on, Joe, with BTR?
Well, you know how it's sometimes when Mr. Talk can't get on the air. And then there are times, like, for example, when I've been on the show or I've been on Ebony's show.
Man, be quiet. You're talking too much, damn it. God, no. You know what? That quote of the day, that was a statement of the day. That wasn't no quote. That was a statement.
And Goni, since I'm the co-host today, do me a favor and mute this interloper. Mute
him. Oh,
I don't care if you're on the show or not. Mute him.
Yeah, right. What's up, people? What y'all going through? What's happening with y'all?
Hey,
I hope
man.
Everybody's having a great day.
Hey,
that's
Eric.
Right. Hey, now the music selection today was Tony Tone, The Temptations, Lakeside, and Tony Tone again. You know, they had two songs that had to get in there. So that was your songs, your Friday mix. Man, I'm telling you, I had fun making that one.
All right. Okay, guys, now
yeah.
that you've heard Mr. Talk, he's going to take over for the show. I'm going to resume my...
That's a negative. That's a negative. Meet me in the green room.
Okay.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, so thank God, co-host. How you doing, beautiful?
I'm doing good, and thanks for telling the music for the day. I'm going to have a lot of fun playing with your toys.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget to use the machine gun.
You got the machine gun and the Magnum now. Don't forget the shoes. Make it acting up. Put some rounds in them.
All right.
And you got the gavel, too. They get out of hand, hit that gavel. They get their attention.
We're going to have a good time today. Everything's going to be all fun.
I know. All right. Well, y'all have a good one. I need to go in the green room, though.
Okay.
With Mr. Joe.
I'll take care of that in just a second. Here we go.
Okay. All righty.
Where's Joe? Okay, everybody. If you just bear with me for a minute, I hope everybody's ready to have a good time. I hope you got some interesting topics on your mind. And we're going to get the show started here in just a second. I have a secret, but I can't tell anybody. I'm sure Eric will tell you when he comes back. Well, while I was thinking about what's going to happen today on the show, I got up listening at some videos that were about consciousness and what's going on here on the planet. And since we don't have anybody's hand up at the moment, I guess I'll just go ahead and talk a little bit about that. How you doing, Bible Benny? No, there's no topic today. Today is Freedom Friday. As soon as somebody wants to call in and talk, then they can stop listening to me talk. You guys call in. The number to call in is 347-838-8622, or you can get on the show by going to blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Okay, as I was saying, how you doing, Benny? As I was saying, I was thinking about consciousness, and I've been listening to a man named John Lash. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. It's very interesting mythology that he's brought forth about the correction, the Sophia correction, which he calls Earth Sophia, and says that Earth is a living being, and that that we're at a place in our evolution where we're about to experience a grand leap for humanity. Well, we got a topic out here. Should Black support the NRA? Prophesier, you call in and we'll talk about that. That's a good topic to talk about today. I don't know much. Oh, you mean the NRA as far as the National Rifle Association? I suspect that's what you're talking about. And Bible Benny wants to talk about class warfare. So I guess that means some of the people out there don't really want to talk about Sophia. I'd love for you to call on in so we can hear what you have to say about that. I'm going to bring Antoinette on the line.
Hello, Sister Argonia and Mr. Talk, if you're somewhere in the background listening.
Room.
Hello, and, I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh,
but I was rushing.
I appreciate you being here. Hope you're feeling well.
Yeah, I'm feeling the weather. They're calling for snow.
Oh, dear.
Tonight into tomorrow.
Well, I know that's always a challenge for you, and I hope it won't be too much of a challenge for you today.
I hope not. My son's taking me to breakfast tomorrow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Some of my people up north and my friend in Detroit, Sister Ottawa, says it's snowing like crazy there and also in Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah, they're predicting
boy.
Another before the end of the month. Can
yeah.
you believe that this is the 17th of January, the month of January, the first month of 2014 is almost over?
I know. And it can just take its time. It can really just take its time.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to bring Joe back on the line. gave us a wonderful quote of the day. I hope you heard it, Antoinette. Were you able to hear Joe's quote of the day?
I heard part of it. And I heard your comments on it, but I didn't hear it all. I'm sorry, Joe, I missed it.
No problem. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear
you loud
and
clear.
Yes, well.
Okay.
Yes, you sound good.
All right, so let me repeat it, because we do have new people here besides Antoinette as well. And it is profound, as Ngoni says, not that I'm blowing my own horn, but of course I'm blowing my own horn.
Of course. And I'm sure it's profound.
Well, I wouldn't be me if I wasn't doing that. But
that's correct.
Okay, here it is. Live for today, but plan for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know if tomorrow will ever come.
Well, that's true.
And that was it. That was mine. I didn't look for it. It came out of my head. It's a philosophy I live by.
And so you're saying that if you just live for today and you act like you're going to die tomorrow, which is a good thing because then you know how to treat people and treat yourself. But also, in case you don't die today, then you want to make sure that you still have things in order for the next day.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I gave the example of those of us, or those of all of you who are lucky, and I appreciate this, people, if you are lucky to have someone in your life that you truly love, and he or she truly loves you without drama, okay, you two compliment each other, tell each other how you feel spontaneously. Don't wait for an occasion. Just look at his or her face, touch it lightly, look into his or her eyes and say, I care about you, I appreciate you. Kiss them on the cheek. Show them something. Appreciate today. Enjoy today. Because tomorrow, you never know. Car crashes, like I said before, carjackings, heart attack, some sort of accident, freak accident. You can be taken away from you in a moment's notice. Your house can be taken away. It's horrible, but you can get it back. Your money can be taken away. It's horrible, but you can be regained. But when your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend is taken away, that's a crushing hole in your heart. So show it and appreciate it. And that's all I got to say.
I appreciate that, Joe. I really do.
Yeah, me too, Antoinette, and I appreciate him repeating that. It's very,
yes,
very profound.
Well,
I'd like to bring Mr. Beasley in on the line if you guys would like me to.
No, keep him hanging. Keep him hanging.
No, let Mr. Beasley in.
How you doing, Mr. Beasley? Welcome.
I'm doing good. I'm wondering what aliens have come and possessed Joe's spirit.
That's like what Galactic Sign said. He said Joe's on the sensitive tip today, and
yeah,
he said that he knew you had it in you, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
And living the divalicious life said that you're too cute.
Oh, isn't she sweet?
No.
It's too old to be cute.
I don't know. Well, see, I look like Tom Selleck. You're a Tom Selleck wannabe.
No, see, men usually look better as they get older.
That's
especially
very
when they start to get the salt and pepper
really.
Hair.
Not so. I got all my hair.
I said salt and pepper.
No, mine's not even. I got gray. They're there, but they're spread out. It still looks like brown hair.
So don't brag.
Yeah, she was complimenting us, Beasley. She was saying that as we get older, you know, we don't seem to
usually, but it's not. Some men.
Women, excuse me.
Some men, and some women, and I'm not going to get into a man-woman thing with them today, and they've got control.
Oh, sure you will, Beasley.
They're not going to let me say anything. I'm not going to.
Please, who are you talking to?
I'm not going to completely wuss out like you and turn into Phil Donahue, a feminist and everything. So,
me,
but it's
a
cool
feminist? You got to be fucking kidding.
We don't want to get you started.
Hell no.
We don't want to get you started.
Beasley?
Yes.
Mr. Beasley?
Yes.
I already went there with Socrates. Did you hear it?
No. I guess I'm a little late. What? Tell me the Socrates quote.
By all means, marry if you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher.
But you don't understand, Beasley, the reason behind that quote. Oh.
Yeah, he was gay, wasn't he?
No, that's not it. I'm tickled. And Gonya, why don't you inform Beasley?
I was speaking at Brother Lowe. I was speaking at Brother
Lowe.
What's
the surprise? You getting married, Sister Nagonya?
No.
Oh,
no.
Never. Never again.
No. Tell him.
Enough.
Tell him, Nagonya, what the inspiration was.
Oh, I was picking at Brother Lowe.
Oh. You're going to set him off. You're going to, well, you know what? This is a good time to do it, strategic time to do it. You got control of the board. You could push him over the edge.
I wouldn't do that to Brother Love.
You already fired the first shot, though. You're poking your finger in his chest. Yeah, you would.
I'm Ben Hayes.
Boy.
I'm Ben Hayes. Sister Gonya, can I do my quote?
Oh, please do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm going to get me a quote. I got the Barton quotations. I can find one, too. Let me go upstairs. I got 1,000 pages of quotes.
Okay, well, this one is from Bet Reese. If you think you're too small to be effective, you have never been in bed with a mosquito.
Ouch.
Well, that is true. I mean, they can cause some annoyance, especially if they're going to swallow even just one. Yep.
Yeah. So if you think you're too small, then think about how small a mosquito is. But then also look at your power.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the power that you also have. You know, if you compare yourself to a mosquito and, you know, you can do more than what a mosquito can do.
Mm-hmm.
There, and I put it in the chat room for y'all.
All right.
And
we had some car ants in the house yesterday.
Pardon me?
I said we had some fire ants in the house yesterday.
I'm going to behave myself today, Sister Gonya. I'm going to behave. I'm going to be so sweet that butter can melt in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is not the show.
Okay, Galactic Scientist put his quote in. He said it's better to say nothing and have people think you are ignorant than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. See, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't know if he was directing that at me.
No. That's a Confucius quote. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one.
It actually takes some, you know, if you haven't heard it before, it actually takes some thinking about that, because some people actually think it means the opposite of what it actually means. So it's a nice mind twister.
Yeah.
It tells me, know what you're talking about before you open your mouth.
That is one interpretation. That's true.
Right. And some people should never open their mouth.
Right.
True.
Right.
And the meaning of that.
Judgmental, don't you think?
What, Angonia?
I said that's kind of judgmental, Mr. Beasley, don't you think?
Well, there are some people, and maybe we don't hear them, even though we hear people we disagree with, but there are some people that are completely obtuse, ignorant, uninformed, that will talk on the subject. I don't know. Yeah, that is harsh. That is harsh.
Yeah, we have another quote also by Living the Devalicious Life.
Mm-hmm.
Her quote is, you attract people by the qualities you display. You keep them by the qualities you possess.
I like that one. Look at what you're doing, Ngoni. You're inspiring people today to think out of the box.
Yes.
I try to think out of the box myself. However, I know I'm very conditioned. You know, it takes effort to look outside of your conditioning and to try to think beyond what you've been told all your life is true, which really isn't.
That's right.
Yeah.
That would make a great topic. How are we conditioned? okay? That would make a great political topic because we all have been conditioned. The public school system has damaged our brains until, poof, all of a sudden, an epiphany. Sometimes.
You know, I was thinking about my primary schooling experience, which I would consider good as far as that I learned to read, write, you know, divide, phonics, the basics, but they really are indoctrinating you. You really do pledge allegiance to that flag,
mm-hmm.
you know, every single morning. Every single morning. You are taught things and led to believe things that aren't true, and I don't think it's the same now as it was when I went to elementary school in the 60s. I have a quote, though.
Okay.
You guys will like this one. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I like that
yeah.
one. That's political, very political. Yeah.
Steve Biko said that, the guy, the activist in South Africa that was killed. Oh, I got another one. An example of the monkey, the higher it climbs, the more you see of its behind.
Say that again, Mr. Beasley, please.
An example of the monkey, the higher it climbs, the more you see of its behind.
That's funny.
That's St. Bonaventure.
What do you think about it, Mr. Beasley?
I don't know what to think. I mean, the more one achieves, I mean, the higher, the more one achieves, or the more you expose yourself, the more you're going to see how you're an ass. I don't, fraud that you're behind.
I would, once you think on it, you say the more a person puts himself above others, the more you really see that he's an ass.
Well,
yeah.
Right. What about a politician? How many politicians have we seen? No, seriously, they haven't.
I'm laughing because that's true, Mr. Beasley.
Yeah, that are constantly speaking on something, and with no real principle involved, just trying to say the right thing at the right time, because that's what they do. They try to say the right thing at the right time all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they take so many opportunities. They do. All of them make mistakes and bloopers.
All of them are putting on a performance.
Yeah. They all are. They're all.
Yeah.
You know what? I've called them traitors many a time, and I have never, ever meant it to be facetious. I mean it factually. And I'll be quiet, but that'll be later.
Well,
they are traitors. They don't know what
they're
doing.
Well, if you take a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution, and you do things or participate in things to violate that, yes, you failed your oath.
Mr. Beasley.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that this is the case because I don't know. I'm just picking.
Mm-hmm.
What about if they made a new constitution that we don't know about? And when they're taking the oath to the Constitution, they're taking the oath to their Constitution.
Well, you know what? They obviously have done that with the impunity that they violate the Constitution.
Yeah.
They've obviously have done that.
Yeah, I mean, you figured the Constitution has been changed before. This isn't the organic Constitution. So now we have this one. Look, I mean, Egypt's changed theirs. So maybe it's got changed again.
The difference is ours is considered to be supposed to be a fairly complete, almost perfect document that is able to, you know, change.
Well, how's that perfection working for you, Mr. Beasley?
I said supposed to be.
How's that working for you?
Considering that my rights are probably being violated every day, every time I send an email. And every time, I discuss something on one of these shows, I haven't suffered any real consequences yet, but my rights are probably being violated right now, and I don't like it at all.
Well,
I don't
who gives
I don't
you the rights?
I don't like, pardon me, go ahead.
Who gives you the rights?
I understand where you're going, I think. But
yeah, I mean, you know, we have God-given rights and then the rights that are given by the government. So anything that the government gives you, they can take it away. So whose rights do they really, I don't want to say allow people to follow, but, I mean, well, now to drink water, they, you know, want to charge you for it. They, you know, to eat, to breathe air, the sun.
I agree with that. I thought about that the other day. I agree with that. Anybody that would charge you for water that comes out of the sky that 75% of the earth is covered with, even if it is, they can't be up to any good.
Yeah,
they
so that's why I said, where are we getting our rights from?
They are definitely working all the angles.
Yeah.
But
well, that leads to something that I was looking into also today, and that's the topic of sovereignty. When you hear the word sovereignty, Joe, could you check your phone, please?
Is it mine?
I think it might be Joe. But he's...
I turned my volume down. It's not mine.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me mute.
I don't think.
I just muted mine. I still heard it.
Yeah, it, usually Joe has a little difficulties. He's way out there in Montana. I hear Mr. Talk always asking to check it, care of it for us. But anyway, as I was saying, I was listening to Mark Passio talk about sovereignty. And usually when people hear that word, you know, they think of the sovereignty movement and they think, you know, there's a bunch of nuts running around calling themselves kings and queens. But really it's a very deep concept because sovereignty means to be without rule. And Antoinette, you brought that to my mind because you raised the question where you get your rights from, and you talked about God-given rights versus man-made rights. And so the opposite of sovereignty, some people think, is anarchy. But I discovered from listening to Mark Passio that anarchy, it means, archon means one, and monarchy means rule, one ruler. So sovereignty, when you get down into the deeper meaning, means to have inner rule, to be self-ruled, and not to have another man rule over you. That's what sovereignty means. But it's been given a bad name lately because they, you know, they put all people that are standing up to say that, you know, that they should have God-given rights, they try to make them look like tin foil hat wearers. You know what I mean? Are you guys out there?
I'm sorry, my
granddaughter just came in. I was speaking to her.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear anything.
I'm thinking about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that when I think sovereignty. I don't. And I don't. And I know that the people that spend a lot of time thinking and talking about that and calling themselves sovereign, that they're coming from a, if they have understanding, they're coming from a higher place, an intellectual place. So I don't really think that, but I also don't like to join in with any groups.
Well, sovereignty is about an individual being self-accountable, being, you know, have an inner rule as opposed to being ruled from outward.
You know, I read a quote today by someone on Twitter, and it got a lot of attention. And he said, I should quote him exactly, but I'll paraphrase it. He said he would rather be an independent, and I guess he meant sovereign, but he'd rather be an independent, his own man making his own decisions, with $100,000 than to be a corporate tool for that was worth $500 million. And I guess he's taken a shot at, you know, your hip hop moguls that all, you know, are supposed to be very wealthy, but at the end of the day, everything that they're promoting and everything they do is ultimately owned by another group. They don't own.
Yeah.
They've sold. You know, they've sold out, so to speak. They've sold their brand for a bidder instead of going it independent and being sovereign.
Well,
they are not sovereign. They are rich or wealthy, but they are not sovereign.
Well, Mr. Beasley, are you talking about political parties when you talk about?
No, I'm talking about. I was talking about. He was saying this to a, for a lack of a better term, a hip hop crowd.
Hmm.
That he would prefer to be his own man, worth $100,000, and made his own decisions. That was autonomous, or, as you like to say, as you're saying, sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he had independence, as compared to a Jay-Z or a Puffy, who are, you know, millionaires, multi-millionaires,
but yet owned by the corporations,
and subject to their whims.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, it is.
So I guess he was speaking to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Were
well,
you
we have.
Decision, were you making decisions
Sonya?
In your life?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I got to go back and find it now. Sorry. We had. Okay, Benny has said earlier. Okay, it keeps jumping now. The wealthy control man-made laws since they have pretty much won the class warfare hands down. And Lee has said that the man-made laws need to be abolished.
I agree.
Further up, I didn't get a chance. I agree with him also. And East Coast said he believes the NSA. Okay, I got to go back. I'm sorry, y'all, but it keeps jumping. The
no,
NSA,
no. If you abolish all man-made laws, all you're asking for is chaos and confusion. That's a fact.
Well, let me say something.
That's
jump in here, Mr.
Okay,
B.
Well, can I do this one? I'm sorry. Can I do this where it jumps again?
Yeah, go ahead. Jumped.
That's just chaos and confusion.
Well,
exactly.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and I want to respond to that, please.
He believes the NSA should be able to tap in on politicians, catch the real crooks.
Who says they don't? I'm sure they tap in on them, too. If they tap in on world leaders, I don't think anybody's off limits. They want the goods on everybody.
Well, yeah, because it's been reported that the NSA is giving the police information from phone calls to, you know, regular people, you know, that may be doing things that they can make some revenue off of.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would want the goods on the politicians, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Rupert Murdoch was doing it. It has been exposed. He was
they're already bought and paid for.
Yeah, but he was surveilling everyone. There's bought and paid for. When somebody's bought and paid, well, when someone's bought, they can go to the higher bidder. When you got the dirt
true.
On them, when you got the dirt on them that will wreck them, then you've got real control over them. That's why it's always been done like that.
That's true. And when you think about it, in this system, you have to be able to have access to millions plus to even get into the system of the political system here. But I want to talk about, you know, what Antoinette mentioned a little bit ago. When we were talking about, I know it was Mr. Beasley that said that there was no man-made rules and we would have chaos. You see, that's what Mark Passio was talking about earlier today when he was explaining that what people think is anarchy, it just means to not have external rule, that because of natural law and universal law, that you always have to have rules, moral rules, and so forth. And if you don't go by them, whether you believe in them or not, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap. So what you do to
right.
others comes back to you. You agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
I mean, this is the laws of just universal laws. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, and like he was saying, it doesn't really matter whether we believe in them or not. They're still operating because of And so what if, this is just a what if we were all taught to be self-ruling and to understand natural laws and universal laws and to live our life in that manner, then would we have the kind of system where we have external rulers who now are setting themselves up as gods to dictate, to put poison in our food and to, you know, to dirty the air with geoengineering and to put fluoride in the water. I mean, these people are literally trying to kill us off the planet. They're playing God.
Yeah, eventually it'll end up being the same way. It might take a slower period of time to do it, but we had that back before the states, before the territories became states. If you take a look at the history of the United States, we had Oklahoma, Wyoming, Montana, et cetera. All of them are territories full of rugged individualists before they became states. And then when they became states, theoretically, there were states with a proviso that they could secede from the Union at any time. Then again, of course, that wasn't permissible. The thing is, if we were all taught to be, and we were taught to be rugged individualists, it would, as I said, it would take a longer time for true corruption to come in to eventually, I don't want to use the word evolve because that has a positive connotation, but for it to progress, no, I don't want to use that word either, but for it to become the way it is today. Because eventually, people, because of our DNA, because of who we are innately, there will be people who will try to become the dominant people. Whether it's the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, doesn't matter. The Genovese.
Like, just like
blood,
animals.
Yeah. So that's how we would become anyway. It would take a slower time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're not like Vulcans. Vulcans are mainly very logical species, you know, the science fiction creatures. But we're not like that. We're very emotional, very immature, very egoistic and egotistical types of creatures. So eventually we would. And the Constitution, even though I'm a libertarian, I'm more of an anarcho-capitalist, the Constitution, to me, was not a very good document. It wasn't written that well.
It wasn't intended to be. You agree?
I agree on that, but a lot of people, constitutional scholars will say, yeah, but then I have to point out, you know, if you take a look at the Anti-Federalists, they pointed out the obvious flaws in some of what I call the weasel clauses of the Constitution. Eminent domain is extremely obvious. Why give a group of people, central government, the power to just take your property? Okay? But they do that. And then there's the General Welfare Clause. Now people will say, well, it wasn't intended to be the overall blanket of tyranny that it is today. And I'm saying, if you read, I think it's Brutu, the Anti-Federalist, he points out, you know, this is the natural way that the General Welfare Clause was going to end up, regardless of whether people wanted it to or not.
Well, Joe, I think you're right. And when you consider the history, you know, that King George chartered the 13 colonies as nations in the beginning, that kind of tells us that the whole deal that they taught us about, you know, pilgrims fleeing from religious persecution was kind of just not the whole story.
Well, I can give you an example, because, you know, not all of us know about history, because we're going to have to take a look at documents, and then we can have a good debate on that. But let's take a look at the school system. Isn't the school system, theoretically, supposed to be set up to teach people how to think? Would anybody disagree with that?
Well, I agree.
No.
Okay.
Well, theoretically, but what it teaches you is how to fit in.
Right, so that's why I said theoretically.
From the beginning, it teaches you how to become a spoke in the wheel.
Yeah.
All
so
the way through higher education.
And here's the proof of that. If you're going to take that premise that they're supposed to teach us how to think now, why is it, I don't know of any high school in the country, there may be a couple, but I don't know of any, why is it that no high school teaches logic nor critical thinking as part of a curriculum?
Well, the reason they don't teach it is because they sent some people to Germany purposely to teach them how to separate the curriculum so that they wouldn't be taught critical thinking. And I don't remember where I read this, but I recall that it had something to do with the Germans not winning the Second World War, because they were taught, the soldiers were taught critical thinking, and they didn't just automatically take orders like we've been taught to do. So they brought these people back here to the United States and implemented a curriculum that was designed to dumb us down. It's called the Prussian system of education.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. That's the proof, though. That's the smoking gun. If our public school system is supposed to teach us to think and they're not doing it, therefore they are willfully going into the other direction of dumbing us down.
But let me ask you a question, Joe. Why would they teach us to think critically when the system was set up in the first place? Like I said, King George chartered the 13 colonies as corporations. They needed bodies to come over here and clear the land and do the work, and they had a plan. You know, usually they're 100 years ahead of us or more, maybe. So I don't think it's by design that we are where, I mean, I don't think it's by accident that we find ourselves in the situation that we are today with the, you know, depression, the financial system on the verge of collapse. That's not, and all of the other things that are going on at the same time, you know, with them attacking, I don't want to be redundant, but attacking the food and you know, trying to get everybody on pharmaceuticals. They have a pill for everything here.
Oh, yeah, and I happen to agree with you, but people would say, okay, that's conspiracy talk, and the point that I was trying to make was, even if you take all of that supposed tinfoil philosophy that I believe in, that other people believe in, that you believe in, you just have to ask the question, okay, Mr. Skeptic, if you think that the American way is only seen by us as, you know, through our rose-colored glasses as being conspiratorial when it isn't, why isn't the school system teaching us what it supposedly is supposed to do?
But the question is, were they supposed to? I think the public school system is doing exactly what it was designed to do.
That's my point. The thing is that they are doing what it's designed to do. But if you talk to people and say that to people, they're going to tell you no, right? They're going to say
no. But Joe.
Well, yeah, they're going to reject the idea because they bought into the belief system that we've all been taught. And that's why earlier, Joe, while you were away, I was trying to approach this thing from a different perspective, not from a conspiracy perspective. You know, I was talking about how when I talk about being self-ruling, I wasn't talking about a rugged individual. That brings me, you know, to think about the Wild Wild West and so forth and so on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think what this guy, Mark Passio, was getting at was to understand that we all have a personal responsibility to be self and inner ruling, and if we aren't, then we naturally evolve to a situation where we find ourselves in today, where we have a system that really we have a hand in creating because we have abdicated our responsibility, to rule over ourselves. And I don't mean chaos and everybody just do whatever they want to do. That's not where he's coming from. He's saying that if you don't take the responsibility to self-rule, then you'll have chaos and you cannot get order out of external controls. When you have other people dominating and controlling you, you can never bring peace and harmony. How you feel about that idea?
Well, yeah, people have to be independent thinkers. They have to look inside themselves as their own self-rulers, as sovereign people. Yeah. For them to also have, let's say, miniature government or hierarchical type of arrangement, a lot of people are against that. But as long as it's mutual, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm an anarchist, but I don't believe that, you know, a lot of people think of anarchists as those, you know, those who want to blow the dome off the Capitol. No. You are just somebody who doesn't want to be ruled by the rules of others unless you consent to them.
Yeah, there's some comments in the chat room that are really interesting and also a question. But from Love and Light, they had made, wait a minute, let me get to the first comment they made. The school system is training students to be followers and not thinkers. They want slaves in this society, indebted and dependent. That's why financial literacy is not taught either. And prophetize, I know I'm not saying it right, but please forgive me, said the public school system is geared towards taking tests and scores. And the Lee Show said that creative thinking is not endorsed. And East Coast asked a very important question, I think. Do you think your school system did you any justice?
I don't know what he means by do you any justice.
Did you justice? I'm sorry. Okay. Do you think your school system did you justice?
Yes. Maybe not justice, but it taught me things I didn't know that I applied to this very day.
Okay, my answer is no.
You know, just because public schools may be programmed a certain way, we're living in an age where there's more information available to more people than ever before. And younger people in public schools access this information. And that helps guide the way they think, too. Also, you have constant negative stimulus. You know, the violent video games, the constant music with the self-destructive images or self-destructive lifestyles are glorified. Every single song. Some of the stuff that's on the radio, I guess I'm getting old because I've never turned. I just think about the younger people, and there's songs on there that are. That are if you knew the raw version or the unclean version, it's a vulgar song for adults and shouldn't be and on the public airwaves where children listen to it and where that would talk like that. It's a problem.
You're right, Mr. Beasley, but now doesn't that take us back to the question, did the public, I call it the public fool system, did it do us justice? Would we have a society that has that kind of filth on the air if we had gotten, you know...
That kind of stuff wasn't on the air when I was a kid. I had to learn, I mean, the worst...
Now, our nastiest thing
back
was
a Richard Pryor album or listening to Dolemite or Mom's Maybe or something.
Yeah, Richard Pryor and Red Fox. And the nastiest singing group that I remember was the Whispers. Was it the Whispers or the Isley Brothers? Isley Brothers. They were close to nasty.
The Whispers love music. What
no, Isley Brothers. They do a lot of innuendos. I mean, they didn't come right out and say it, but they threw enough innuendos out there. I said the nastiest group that we had.
But do you think that, you know, a decline of a society is a process? So Mr. Beasley made the point that that wasn't like that in his day.
I don't know, and it wasn't.
Of course it was.
He's the same age. You know what? It wasn't.
Societies were corrupt. They condemned Elvis Presley. They condemned certain country music for being too sexy, and for waving the hips around, and for who else did they condemn? Church music. Some of the church music.
Yeah, when gospel music and they started that it was when they. Felt that they were incorporating the blues in with it and, you know, that it was too jazzy and stuff like that. Sister, excuse me for one second. Sister Agonia, Can you check your phone line? Prophezor.
Yeah, I just see anybody with their hand up.
Yeah, you have to press one. Oh, you're welcome. I just seen them put it in the chat room today. We're going to call in, so I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Because I believe they're a new caller. I've never seen them before.
Yeah,
but I'm not always here, so.
Hand up. 601, I'll check it.
Okay, thank you. Mississippi. Beasley, for you not to like the South, you know an awful lot about the South.
I don't necessarily not like the South.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Mr. Beasley. Benny said we can't forget about Chuck Berry. He said that guy was perverted.
Yeah, as far as everybody else was concerned, sure. The early
Jerry Lee Lewis married a 13-year-old.
Yeah, wasn't it his cousin or something too?
It was his cousin. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about that song, "Great Balls of Fire"? Okay. We all judge our entertainment.
I don't know what "Great Balls of Fire" was about. I mean, maybe I shouldn't.
No, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't about anything. It may or may not have been about anything that was sexually
explicit.
But I mean, when you have "Great Balls of Fire" during that time, when you had Elvis Presley, you couldn't be seen from the waist up on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
And you had the Beatles too. And the Stones, they were considered too sensual. Okay.
Yeah.
So we judge people by the mores of the times.
Right.
Back in the 20s and the 30s, you had these rating agencies, and if you were too so-called racy, you couldn't say what you. How about in the 50s and the 60s when you had in the bedroom, you had to have two
twin
separate beds.
And
yeah,
if they were in the same bed, then they had to have 1 foot
on the floor.
No, on the floor.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, times
okay.
have changed.
Yes, they have.
Pardon me for interrupting, but Antoinette, you were right. He wants to speak with us. He's a professor, and he'd like to add his perspective to our conversation. So I'm going to bring him in.
Oh, great.
Now. Welcome, Professor.
Hello,
Professor.
Thank you. Well, I just shared earlier when I was, making sure that I was a normal person. Is that what you're doing before I was able to join the general population?
Yes, sir. We have
sure some
normal people that like to come on the show once in a while.
Okay. Well, like I shared earlier, I am an instructor here in the public school, but I do believe that the majority of schools do gear toward taking the test scores, test grades, but there are certain teachers in certain classes who do try to, you know, teach outside of the box or outside of the norm. And as I shared earlier, I teach STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, to ninth graders. I also teach U.S. history to 11th graders. But to my STEM students, I have them all registered to take a computer science course online with Harvard University. They all have Blog Talk Radio accounts. They are just finished working with the international project called the Hour of Code. It's on code.org, learning how to use code. And, you know, so also they're using a program called Mathematica 9. And so there's so much that we're doing with STEM that I'm sure that if I was just checking the block, they would not be doing these things. But, again, I don't think every teacher is a check-the-block kind of person. But for the most part, I do see how, education has been stifled tremendously over the years and dumbed down.
May I ask you a question? And please don't take this in the wrong way. So I'm not going to say you. I'm going to do this another way. In your profession, have you noticed that when it comes to history, that students are not being taught the true history? They've been taught what's now in the books because, you know, we know they keep changing the textbooks in schools. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they're not the same from the 60s and things like that. So do you see where the history books and what was the true history is not being taught now.
my response to that is not so much true or false, but more so the emphasis in history has changed. I think in one regard, the emphasis was, particularly in the early 70s, late 60s, the emphasis was much more cultural, and closer to the 80s, it was more so economic. The emphasis, I think, changed over the years with history, more so than true false, because they're going to always be a way to justify an ideology in history. So I think it's more so the emphasis. But like, and just to be specific here, as a U.S. history teacher for the 11th grade, which is a tested grade area, my mm-hmm. focus, even though I was a Pan-African Studies major and I have a wealth of information that I could share with my students about Ethiopia, you know, different countries around the world, but because the emphasis is more so, you know, we got to get these kids to pass this test. You know, all that extra black history information, that's fine and dandy. Save it for February. And even in February, spend time on getting these kids to pass the test. So the focus has more so been on the test, and whatever the test says goes. And so if I have to teach them the test, that's kind of where it is. You have to teach to the test. But the other thing is people had an innate interest in history at one point where people wanted to learn about history. They wanted to start book clubs and poetry clubs, and they wanted to read on their own independently. Whereas, unfortunately, nowadays, not so much independent reading is taking place as much as there is a lot of game playing, a lot of, recreational activities that don't really recreate anything in particular. Sort of like mental masturbation, as it were. So you're not really making any real progress in that area, unfortunately. So I think that would be my response to that.
Well, thank you for that input.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to ask
have you.
Have you
noticed that the tests are different? Have you seen the, I think it's 1912 eighth grade test?
Yeah, I've seen that. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what children get now?
Mm-hmm. Well, that still goes back to teaching people knowledge. I'd like to have the high schools and the grammar schools teach people how to think.
Yes. Which they don't anymore, and that's...
They never did. The closest they ever came to it was maybe to help kids know how to study a little bit better. But in terms of actually teaching you how to think, which is what logic is about, what critical thinking is all about, they don't have it.
Well, I know when we had math, when I was in school, we had, you know, the problems where the written math, you know, where you had to think, you know, they... Oh, Lord, and I forgot what it's even called now.
Word problems.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Something so simple. And I don't really see that anymore. It's been a while since my children have been in school.
Yeah, well, that shows to me the flaw in the system, because you can learn that, especially in algebra, like X plus Y equals Z. And you can learn that, and you can say, oh, okay, yeah, so 2 plus 5 equals 7, and, you know, an X squared plus B squared equals B squared and all that kind of good stuff. But when it comes to, well, if a train leaves Philadelphia at 3 in the morning and a train leaves New York at 5 in the afternoon, at what point are they going to meet up together? And when people, that's what stymies people, okay? Because when you're going to put the figures in front of you, that's one thing. When it says... Think about this a little bit. Try to pick out which of the particular situations and the correct X and the correct Y are you going to combine together to get to the answer. They don't do it that well. That's not the emphasis. Okay? So that, to me, is another flaw in the system. In math and in certain parts of English, you do have to apply reasoning, but they don't emphasize it. They should emphasize it. And that, again, to me, shows that the school system, if you know, and we got this professor on the line, I'm sure you've heard or read Gatto. You may have heard about Charlotte Isabite. I'm sure that in schools today, they didn't teach this years and years ago. When they were teaching about Christopher Columbus, they were emphasizing that he was sort of a hero, all right? But if they had told the total truth about Christopher Columbus, they should have said that he went to the Americas and found the Arawak Indians, and within a week had enslaved some of them and brought them back to Isabella. And then he made a return trip to the Americas to do the same thing all over again. So in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. They don't talk about how he was, a murderer, a thief, and a person who brought back slaves. So this is the kind of history we're not taught. I have a history book which is copyrighted 1955, world history book. I wish it was an American history book, but in the world history book, it states that the United States is an imperialistic nation. You won't find that in history books. You won't find that in history books of 30 years ago.
That's so regardless, a good point.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to teach a nation its history, teach it its flaws too, so that people, if they're taught logic and critical thinking, they can make judgments on their own. But it's not, as you said, Ngoni, it's a public fool system. It's not the public school system. It's some other people that I know, they call it the miniature security prison. And that's what it is.
Well, in my humble opinion, education has been designed in such a way to train us. We're not really educated. We were trained to then be put out in society to do jobs, but not to be able to be creative thinkers, to be able to be independent, and to be able to, make your own way. You were taught and really herded, to just take instructions, follow instructions, and to do certain
things. You're designed to be a male and female drone. Take a look at the way that they do teach any particular subject in school. Even this guy's topics, I'm sure they teach in disjointed ways. If you're going to take a class, for example, and this is an obvious example, if you're going to take a class in business, you would think that they would teach you some classes on how to get ahead, make a profit, become a successful entrepreneur, instead of maybe an accountant or a corporate in corporate finance. How do you do that? Only one class that I ever attended gave you some of the facets of how to become a successful businessman. Now, did you go to school in order to become an entrepreneur? No. But if you're going to learn about business, you should learn about how is a business successful, other than, just taking disparate economics courses or accounting courses, and then trying to take the pieces of the puzzle from chapter 14 and chapter 13 of one course in economics, and then taking the chapter 12 of corporate finance and trying to put them together to find out the whole entire picture. They don't do that. So that's another way of fucking up students.
Well, I was amazed when some of my grandchildren that were in elementary school, they had, by the way, I agree with you, Joe, they had a show-and-tell day, and their mother had to go out and find them play money and checks and credit cards. They actually have play credit cards and checks and play money, and they had to take it to school. So to me, they're being taught very early to just be consumers, not thinkers. And I want to address something to the professor. He mentioned that he studied Pan-African studies, and at one time that was something that was very important to me because I had a thirst to know about history that I wasn't taught in school. And after spending 5 years in study group studying African history and so forth, I came full circle and realized that what I should have started with was The People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
Howard Zinn, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful book.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, we had a lot of very good professors and scholars that wrote a lot of books about history, and I understood that it was to bring pride of who you were and your roots and your ancestry, but they had us looking 9,000 miles away over the ocean when we should have been looking at what happened to us right here, in my view. Is the professor still there?
Yes, he's still here.
Do you have a comment on that?
I kind of missed a chunk of what you were saying about, I know you said something about back in the, you said that Pan-African Studies was something that was dear to you. What is the crux of the question, I think, is what I'm trying to.
I heard you mention earlier that you studied Pan-African Studies. Is that correct? Yeah, and I was just saying that I also had a thirst to know my history, to know my ancestry, to understand, you know, about my connection to Africa, so forth and so on, and spent 5 years studying that, and then realized that I should have started with the People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
I see. Okay, and I see that link there, the People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. I see that link there.
Excellent work.
So is the question that if I agree that would have been a good book to read, or that?
Well, no, I guess I was just asking in the context that, you know, we talked earlier, or, you know, they were talking earlier about Jill was talking earlier about how history, the flaws and all should be taught, not this mythological history that we were given, at least in my age, you know, in my time, this mythological history that we were taught, you know, and the patriotism and so forth and your civic duty and so forth and so on. And basically I feel like, you know, we were just taught to allow others to make decisions and to lead us wherever they want us to go. And we're just supposed to follow. We weren't. So I said that in the context of realizing myself that if you don't understand truth of, you know, your environment, who you are, your place in the society, so forth and so on, how can you be a productive member of society? So this is just a comment, and I just wondered if you had any comment. I didn't ask a direct
I was simply add that there was a video that I shared with my students usually in February and sometimes in other parts of the school year, and it's called Black History Lost, Stolen, or Strayed. It's a very timely video. It was actually directed by or narrated, hosted by Bill Cosby, maybe in the early 70s. And one of the things I remember vividly from there was how he shared an excerpt from one of the history books where it described black people as happy darkies during the time of slavery. And that was a sort of history that was taught. And, of course, if that was the focus, which was slavery wasn't that bad, you know, and the people that made it bad were those rebellious Negroes who tried to fight for, you know, this freedom when, you know, Negroes were perfectly happy being enslaved, doing what they were doing, and working for their masters. But that was in the history books, and that is what was taught at one time. And that's why I said earlier that I think it's more so the focus of history, because there were some black people who were enslaved, and they did make their lot of being the best servant that they could be, and enjoy what they did because they made do with what they had. Conversely, there were other blacks who hated the system of slavery, and they did whatever they could do to get out, break out, be free. You know, you have some folks, a lot of young people today that say, I could never be no slave back in them days, but, you know, staying in now and actually being in that situation are two totally different things. So the reality is, the point I'm trying to make is that the focus of history has changed over the years, over the generations. And so whatever the focus may be at this juncture, if we want to change that focus in terms of public education, is going to come from whatever the test dictates. Because if the test dictates that kids need to know X, Y, Z, elemental P, then that's what teachers are going to teach in class.
And anything outside of that is considered extracurricular.
Which is why the school system is flawed. Of course, you only have 24 hours in a day. You only have a few hours to teach. And I happen to believe in standardized tests in order to find out if students from different parts of the country in different colleges, different high schools are actually learning something, which is uniform. You can be valedictorian of your class, but in comparison with the rest of the country, you could be you can be quite a dummy. But the thing is, you're talking about focus, and I'm talking about, especially in history, teach the flaws as well, because every nation wants to make their students feel very, very patriotic. Anything wrong with that? No. But when you start feeling this is my America, love it or leave it, and you're ingrained with that kind of philosophy where you never see the other side, all you're going to be is somebody who's a robot. And you're going to be a robot who's going to be taken around by the nose by corrupt politicians. So history is very important. And as a matter of fact, I think university teaching is a racket anyway. Even before I went to college, I had a college professor say to me, look, if you really want to learn, you don't have to go to college. You just buy the textbooks, you got it. I started thinking about it, started saying, why would I have to drag my ass from my couch to go to some building to be taught by somebody who's boring, to have him or her read out of a textbook when I can read the damn thing myself? And when it came to computer classes and math classes, I found that review books were better than textbooks because they actually taught you how what the structure was of why you went wrong. So that to me was important. To me, education is just as much of a ripoff as lawyers.
Okay, I'm going to bring in Galactic Science on the line. He wants to join the conversation. And I also have
Good Friday to everybody.
Hey, Galactic.
I just had a few comments because I'm listening to this conversation on education. The educational system is not flawed. It's doing exactly what it's designed to do. And when you say flawed, Joe, I understand what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I understand exactly what you're saying. However, the educational system is doing exactly what it's designed to do. And unfortunately, because one of the main proponents of education is that education is related to income per capita, number one. So depending upon the income in the area of where you live, it's going to directly reflect the educational system that those children who are growing up in that particular area are exposed to. As time has progressed, parents have literally fallen asleep at the wheel because all they're doing is trying to get their kids to the school to supposedly get an education. And as the host had stated earlier, which I stated, the American educational system was adopted from Prussia, which was the precursor of the German Empire in the 19th century, roughly the late 1800s, before that power got transferred into Germany, which is why a lot of people don't understand where the word kindergarten comes from. The word kindergarten is a German word, which basically translates into taking the child out of the home in its most impressionable, formidable years, which is between 4 and 6, and instituting it into a system which is designed for assimilation. It's not designed for education. It's to get you to understand where you live, where you are, and how it works, and to conform to whatever the societal norms are at that time. One of the reasons why I didn't pursue a career in the educational field, because I saw where it was going. And my methods were very unconventional, and I didn't want to deal with the politics. I didn't want to deal with the bureaucracy. So I kind of veered off away from that. So my point is that when we live in a society now where I think they have it now where kids have to take, I know in California, kids have to take a test upon completion of all core requirements of everything that's required for graduation. They have to take like what's called an exit exam to actually get out of high school.
And 2K, do you think that has anything to do with, have you heard of Charlotte Isabite? Sister Agonia, can you say her last name for me?
Isabite.
Thank you. I put the link in the chat room. I can put it back in, where she talks about the dumbing down of the world, but also the dumbing down of America.
Right, right. There was,
and
I'm familiar
with all
that
of these
concept.
Testing, and so they're testing, but so the only thing they're doing is feeding you stuff, but they're not really teaching you anything. You're just learning to be a parent.
Right, it's programming is what
right.
it is.
Yes.
It's just,
you know,
it's
just like
the,
now
the nice
how many people can
programming.
still remember the Pledge of Allegiance? You know, where you
right.
can just go right off and just say it because that was just programmed into us from kindergarten on.
Right, right. And most of what kids are learning, they're learning by rote. And that's R-O-T, and I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence, but for those who are unaware of rote means, it's just learning things by, you know, just memorization.
Yes.
That's all. And that's the individuals that we are producing in society today. The ability to actually reference information without, like Joe said, without any, and like Sister Ngoni said, without any critical thinking, without any analysis, without anything. We just want you to remember this. And that's what you're going to be tested on. And they tell you right away, okay, this is what you're going to be tested on. You need to remember this. And the kids that do
well,
really
with the dumbing down system, then, I mean, we not only see it, it's not only in the educational system, but then look at the programming and everything that they use as far as the television, just like you said, the video games.
Right.
Children aren't active with nature. You know, I mean, unless you live on a farm or you're close to farmed or you remember your grandparents or something like that, how many children actually know how to go out and plant a seed and watch something grow? And
right.
even for people that say, well, you know, we live in an apartment, we live in the city, you know, how many, you know, even though, you know, take a pot and let's plant something, and they're being taught these things. You know, look at the things that children aren't being taught. As far as I'm aware of, home ec, you know, I remember Woodstock and everything,
those were
mandatory
all,
when I was in school.
Yeah, those are all electives now. When I was in school, art was required.
Yeah,
physical
so they're taking away the creative.
Physical education was a requirement. Music was a requirement. You had
so that you could
you
be creative.
And you had to pick the instrument that you wanted to play. The schools, when I was in middle school, schools provided all the instruments. If you wanted to play drums, if you wanted to play trumpet, clarinet,
I learned flute.
Saxophone,
I learned flute.
Tuba,
I learned organ, piano,
all of that.
You know, from my parents. But I took
flute
in school.
my point is that the educational system, in regards to what you're talking about, it's the jumping off point, because once you can get people indoctrinated from an educational standpoint.
Now, wait a minute, I'm N2K, we have an echo. Sister Gonya, it's an echo.
It's not me.
I think that's my fault. And while I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me bring Michael and Brother Lowe on the line, okay?
Okay.
And then you guys can resume your dialogue.
And I'll finish real quickly because I know the brothers want to jump in. It's the educational system is the jumping off point, because once you can get that institutionalized framework in, it becomes a lot easier, like what you're saying, where a kid doesn't know how to, you know, plant a seed. I remember when I was in grade school, we used to grow stuff in class.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like that for me also,
I'm 53 years old. I can remember my fifth grade teacher, who was one of the best teachers I ever had, because everything that we did in his class was hands-on. He taught us how to build a rabbit cage. Man, we had pets in the classroom. We had everything. He bought rabbits, and then we had to build the rabbit cage.
Yeah,
things like
that. I think somebody's trying to say something, N2K.
It's okay. I'm good.
How you guys doing?
Mike, okay.
Hello, gentlemen.
Come on, Lowe. Time for the truth.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No? Okay. Mike, what do you got?
Okay. I'm up. I'll have the floor. Oh, yes. Well, good topic you guys are having. I'm hearing a lot of good information. See, the main course is, math, we don't have really much trouble in curriculum, you know. By the way, you know, only 15% of all public schools have African Americans in them. So when you talk about the educational system, the grades, the nationwide, it's just not a racial thing why people are low on their standards. But see, we have no problem with curriculum when it comes to math. We have problem curriculum when it comes to history. We have multiple curriculums. If you homeschool your child, that teacher is going to get the information and they're going to deliver the information in their own curriculum style. We argue over history books all the time. So even the kids are going to be confused because we don't know what to teach them. Now, there's too many people involved in the curriculum. You have the federal government, you have the universities, you have the school board members, you have the PTA meetings, you have other politicians, you have advertisement, you have people who write books, the authors, all of those different sects can try to control the school board, try to come on one accord, they're never on one accord, and it confuses the child.
Did you see where
we fight. Go ahead.
From the link that I put in, Charlotte Isbert, this is a plan. This is something that they have planned on doing with the dumbing down of the system. That's the reason why earlier, I don't know if you were listening, then I have brought up the 1912 eighth grade test to what it was then to what it is today.
Yeah, you're right. And people can, I don't know what the link. I'm not at my PC, but you can download the book. You can download the book.
I have the test itself. I don't.
Yeah,
let me see if I
too.
Still have the link. But I know I do have the test.
Yeah, there was a test.
Well, I saw a lot of things on that test that's probably changed, though, too, right?
Well, it is.
Like, Pluto's not a planet.
What changed was that they took a lot of things. You know, the reason why the textbooks are important is that they took a lot of things out of the textbooks. I don't know if you're aware, but they're even trying to take slavery out of the textbooks now. From the new textbooks, they're trying to take that out.
That's a good point.
Right, Sam, it's like you started the Civil War, right? I understand. They want to say the Civil War. They want to start from this
they
American history
to eliminate
from the Civil War.
They 1865 history of the United States, right?
Actually, something that happened was the first step was to rename the slave trade
from being the transatlantic slave trade through the transatlantic migration.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll ease you into something. That's exactly what happened. Okay,
Is that what they're calling now, Mo? Is that what they're calling
it? Transatlantic migration. Yes.
Wow.
So if they're going to do all of this changing, I homeschooled my daughter for a couple of years and her senior year. I mean, her high school years, excuse me. Now, she knows a lot of the true history, but when it comes to the history that they taught and what their answers were for it is not correct to their standards.
Right. So your daughter had to say, okay, well, I know what actually happened, what Joe was explaining. I know what actually happened, but the textbook says this happened, so I got to say that on this piece of paper here.
Yep, sure do, or else you're going to flunk.
Or else you're going to fail. Absolutely. Absolutely. Best example I can remember was when I was a kid and a child and the show Dorothy and the Old Woman and down in Florida, three or four women, Blanche, what was that show called?
Are you talking about the three women?
The Golden Girls.
Or the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Okay, that show.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about the show right there.
The lady that played like, the one that played like she was crazy, she never knew anything. She was always
Betty White.
Yeah. She was on the show, and she never had, and on the show, on this episode, she didn't have a high school diploma. And I can never forget, the question was asked on the test when she was taking the test to get her high school, to get her GED. Who was Adolf Hitler? And she said, I don't know who Adolf Hitler was, but I know who such and such is. And she described Adolf Hitler, and in the books, it was saying that his name had to be Adolf Hitler, but this was the guy that supposedly, instead of him dying like the book said it did, he moved, he was taken out of there, brought to the country that she lived in, and he lived there under that name, and he died there. So I don't know whether she passed the test or not, but the gist of it all is supposedly the man that they were talking about as far as her making a passing grade, as far as her making a passing grade, was Adolf Hitler. But she knew the guy by another name. So the thing is, just because in the books it says one thing and the truth is something totally different, you might have to lie just to get a passing grade.
And you know what, Lo?
Can I just say this real quick? I put the link to the test, the 1912 test. How it's dumbing down, I did put that in the chat room for y'all.
I think the irony to that, Lo, is that she probably knew him by his original name.
Right.
Right. Well, I don't know. Never seen the series. I got to check that out. But anyway, how about the...
That was your show. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't remember that one. But I just want to say something. Well, I mean, if your child disagrees with dinosaurs, if you don't teach them the dinosaurs, they go to school and they say the dinosaurs, they have to circle true or false, whether Tyrannosaurus Rex or, you know, any dinosaur existed.
Is that even part of curriculum today? I don't even know. Prehistoric science? I mean, do they even teach you about dinosaurs anymore? Maybe the professor knows.
Excuse me, let me ask. Can I ask Sister Agonia a question really quick? Sister Agonia, are you going overtime?
If you guys want to, it's up to you. I'll follow your lead.
I was just going to announce it that you have 15 minutes, so, you know, if y'all want to go into overtime.
So, guys,
then
you want to go into overtime?
Call in.
Oh, wow.
Of course.
Listen,
we all go into overtime.
Do you want to go into overtime?
We always
okay,
go
we will.
Into overtime.
And,
okay.
A little bit of an interruption.
Okay, well, I just want to remind everyone to call in because you have 15 minutes.
What have I missed?
Wait a minute, N2K, before you guys get started again, I please forgive me, but before I forget this, I want to announce that there will be no call tomorrow, on Monday. It's Martin Luther King's Day, and Eric said he'll be back on Tuesday. I didn't want to forget to tell you that.
Oh, hey, okay. I could have ran the show for months because of that.
Lo,
I don't know if that's the reason why.
Give him a call, Lo.
I mean, but you said it's MLK, you know, whatever. Hey, I could have.
That's
run
the reason
the show.
He's not having the
yeah.
show. It is MLK Day, Monday. It won't
I
be a show on Monday.
Well, then,
here's
a suggestion. Since Eric isn't going to do the show on Monday, let Lo run the show on Monday.
Between him and Eric.
Right. Exactly.
I wish you could do that.
Okay, so nobody runs it? Okay, so nobody, no show Monday then, officially. Okay.
Wow. Just because.
That's Eric.
Yeah. Well, Sister Agonia, talk to Mr. Talk, and we'll see what's happening Monday.
It's not happening.
She would trust me with the show. Coming. I think if they were in the Army together, they'd trust each other with each other's lives.
Absolutely.
Quick question.
I just want to know. Since it was brought up, I want to know. I don't want to change the topic. I want to know. MLK. What did he do for the so-called minorities on this phone? That baby said nothing.
I'm sorry, that's my granddaughter.
I thought he was talking to his daughter, and then she answered.
Yeah.
I thought he was talking to his daughter, and he had her programmed to say, Martin Luther King ain't shit.
Oh, no, man. My daughter's 20 years old.
Lee.
No, are you crazy? I'm not going to have my child cussing in front of me.
Oh, excuse
now,
me.
No, well, my
sorry.
Granddaughter's six. She better not cuss.
Absolutely.
Let me be the first to answer that question, Lo. Being that I'm a child of the 60s, what Martin Luther King did for me personally was give me the impetus to have the courage to know when things were being done wrong and to not fear repercussions and to speak up about it. Now, other than that, I mean, that's about as far as I can go with it. But
right.
between him... You know, and I don't believe in heroes, but if I'm going to claim a hero, the only hero I claim in my life is Muhammad Ali. Because Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, personified everything my mother taught me. Do not follow people. Stand on your own two feet. Follow your own mind. The only problem with that was that my mother didn't tell me the bullshit I was going to run into by doing it.
Mm.
That's the only problem I had. Now, as far as Martin Luther King, yeah, I had that. I had Malcolm X. I had Medgar Evers, Marcus Garvey.
You ain't
all of those, the Black
remember
Panther
Malcolm
Party.
When he was living.
I'm just saying. It just gave me a courage of conviction to where I wasn't afraid to speak my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did for me. Gave me the courage to speak my damn mind, period.
One thing that I'll say on that note is if you look at it now, and I've read quotes where people said, hey, the quotes from Malcolm X, we don't want those published. The quotes from Marcus Garvey, forget about them. The quotes from MLK, yeah, sure. Bring them on. And, you know, it's got to be a reason for that. I mean, you know.
Well, because his message was much more palatable.
Right.
It wasn't threatening.
One at a time, gentlemen, please, so that we can hear
you,
please.
Can I say something, NQK, real quick? Because, as again, there's different curriculums.
There's going to be different curriculums about Martin Luther King. Some people say Martin Luther King Republican. Some people say he wasn't a Republican. See, different curriculums about Martin Luther King. There was different curriculums back then.
All facts back at that time in the 60s and the late 50s, most black people were Republicans because the Republican Party was mainly opened up to. They embraced that. Why at that time we were colored. They embraced the colored race, whereas
I'm
the Democrats
about going
did
the
60s.
Not. Black would not.
I'm yes,
talking
I'm talking about
the
in the
60s.
See,
hold up.
Let Michael
She's
telling you what she knows, and you going on what you think.
Let him
fly.
Wow. Hello, everybody.
Hello,
Mae.
How are you?
I'm going to be quiet because I don't want to hear the facts.
No, hold
Can
on.
I say something
hold on,
the
people.
Topic that you all
Michael hasn't had a
y'all
chance.
Got Luther King.
Yeah, hold on. Mae, hold on
ahead,
a second,
that
please.
All facts. No,
Mae, hold on, people.
No.
Yeah, Mae, Michael, you know, has been talked over for a little bit. He hasn't had the chance to really say what he wanted to say when he got
You're
here.
Right.
So let him have
Michael.
About...
That's
Let
it.
Them have at least 2 to 3 minutes uninterrupted, and then everybody else can jump in, okay?
60 to 90 seconds, get out of here.
No. Okay, 2 to 3 minutes so that he knows that nobody's going to jump on him, okay? So let's have that. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, we have multiple curriculums of what's going on in this nation. And as I said before, in the 1960s, you can clearly say, the Democratic Party, most black people were Democrats during the 1960s, okay? Now, when it comes to us knowing where to go and what people did for this country, we've always been divided. Some people want to go back to Africa. Some people want to stay here. And what I'm saying is the fact what Martin Luther King said is regardless all of us, people were talking about going back to Africa and being violent and taking it over. No, our grandfathers and our grandmothers have every right and claim to this nation. This nation is filled with immigrants. We have blood, sweat, and tears. And why should I go anywhere? I have every right to this land than any Caucasian, factually, because forget the documents, the work was done. That's what Martin Luther King was basically saying. So,
well, all facts, it's a choice if you want to live in Africa or wherever you want to live. No one is not tied to leave the United States to go to Africa. I mean, I think people that go to Africa, it's by choice. It's a decision that they make, people that go and visit or people that go to live there or go to live other places. People are not just migrating to Africa. They're migrating all over the world. And then there's people that migrate from other places to here.
True.
But
I'd rather live in Paris.
Other black people are stupid if they stay and they work with the white man and don't go back to Africa. It's going to cause a divide in our community. That's what I was saying.
If they don't work
That's
with the white man, first we got to learn how to work with ourselves. We need to learn how to work
Good
with
point.
All people, not
you
just make it just with the white
wait,
man.
Wait. Hold on. First,
can I speak
you
now?
Need you need
yeah,
to learn how to work with yourself.
But that's how our problems go.
Love yourself.
I'm being nice.
We're talking about
Hold
Martin
on,
King,
guys.
About
wait,
working
Mike,
with the
were
white
you finished?
Man.
All right, I'll be Will you finish? First off, let Mike finish, and then Lowe, and then me.
We thought he was finished.
Okay.
I just want to say, just 15 more seconds. Listen, we have to work with the white man because this country is mixed races. So you're going to have to work. We pay taxes together. We pass laws together. So factually, all groups are going to have to work with all groups in this country, factually. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
That was 25 seconds, but you still
All right. Flo, you got the floor now. Then after
no,
that,
No, I have
Mae.
That flow. I'm sorry. I'm next on.
Mae's,
I'm going to ask
Mae.
Those questions.
Let it go.
Mae,
let
it go. Okay, go ahead.
You stop trying to control stuff.
Hold on. Whoop. I'm the co-host
when it
for
came
today.
To 1912,
I'm the hall
people
monitor.
Were not allowed
I'm the hall
to leave
monitor
doing
for
then.
Today. So, Ngoni and
so my uncle was born in 1912. I'm going to tell you some human history, not no books and all of this stuff. He was born in 1912. They were not allowed to go to school. And then back in the day, as it came up to the 40s, they were finishing high school at ninth grade. So and the dumbing down of America came when they started reading and doing, they was already reading and doing everything anyway. It was the laws that were stopping them from doing what they needed to do. And then when black people used to be Republicans, they was all over the place. They was in the Congress and they was governors and they was everything. They had land and property. That's what they could fight with. which was taken away from them, and they couldn't fight with it anymore because they got burned out and all that different stuff. So, but you ain't going to find it in your history book. So I'm telling you what I know from a walking history book with the papers I still have that I can look up and teach it to my children so they can know where their ancestors' history came from and all that. Now let's get back to Martin Luther King.
Now let's get back to
Martin Luther King.
Hold on.
Along,
Mays.
That was another
Mays.
Person before him.
Mays.
It's just
Mays.
Like Rosa Parks.
Mays. Mays. Mays finish. You let Mike
Ma'am.
Finish.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
okay.
Mike, I mean, Joe don't want to hear no history.
Keep going.
The fact you interrupted.
Keep blowing.
And, okay. I want
better
to
get it
low,
out.
Go ahead. Go
you asked for it, Joe. You got
so
it.
So Lowe asked me the question about what have Martin Luther King done for me. Martin Luther King didn't make me want to have to stand up to do what I did. The history that I just told you about is gave me my strength, the things that I do, and I see today. And it's the white man got to do business with me, not me do business with him. Because if it would have happened that way, Martin Luther King would still be alive.
Thank you very much.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, Lowe, what did you want to say?
Joe, excuse me one second. I'm sorry to interrupt. Ms. May, greetings and thank you. What is your area code?
111.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm done.
Go ahead, Lowe.
Well, I'm glad to hear for the thousandth time that I and my always is what's going to dominate everything, Ms. Mays. I'm not talking about I and my. I'm talking about for the whole of the people. What did MLK do for the whole, the entire of the people? Nothing. He didn't do anything for the people.
What
and
did I just
a
say?
Wait, you talk, I didn't say a word. A lot of people thought that that man was a spiritual man, a religious man, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they portrayed him as, but he wasn't any of that. And the thing is, when these facts start to come out, the older black people don't want to hear it. Oh, that Dr. Ma, he did a lot for the black. He didn't do anything for the black people. He promoted himself, and he promoted an agenda. And now the agenda is full circle.
Really?
Okay, if you live in a certain neighborhood, okay, if you live in a certain district and you have good enough credit and you're going to pay to live over there amongst those other people, then your child, your little black baby, can walk and hold hands over there in the sandbox with the little white baby. Can't nobody stop that. That's what he promoted. He didn't promote it. He did promote that.
Let Lowe finish. Do my Luther King history and see it on. He have a white grandma.
Mays, is your name Lowe? Go ahead, Lowe.
The whole time that man was talking about, I just want everybody to be able to do this and do. Black people thought this man was waving the Bible around. That man never waved the Bible around. And the thing is, the people that he was influential to the most, they were led down the wrong path. They were led down a rabbit hole. And now they like, okay, well, yes, MLK, he was this. That man cared nothing about the existence of the people that followed him. He was promoting his own agenda. Well, actually, he was pushing an agenda that was good for somebody, for the powers that be, because
that
today,
man gave his life up, bro.
Today, the powers that be.
You don't got the time to do what
Michael,
he did.
When you were talking, I didn't
up.
Tell what.
But don't take out that low. Everybody else needs to speak, too, besides you taking up the whole
thing. Yeah,
hold on.
He's only talked for
about
2 minutes, so give him another 2 minutes and everybody else can come in.
Are you hosting the show?
Yes, I'm hosting the show.
They can't. People can't take it. We've conditioned to hold Martin Luther King up so high that when someone says something against him, that everybody's chomping at the bits.
Let him finish, and everybody else can
jump in. No, but I'm just noticing that. And people get you get angry. You say things that
I'm
are.
I'm not angry.
Well, Martin Luther King done nothing for the people. That's a lie.
I don't think he's right, but it's just his opinion. Let him speak.
Yeah, that's
right. If everybody keeps jumping in, he'll never finish. So let him finish, and everybody will jump in.
But he can still speak.
Let him finish. Go ahead, Lowe.
All I was saying is, hey, the man promoted an agenda. And if I'm lying, then the powers that be wouldn't say, oh, well, Malcolm X's memoirs and his speeches. No, no, you're not going to promote that. MLK, promote all of that. Yeah, yeah. There's a reason for this. He didn't come here to help anybody. He came here and he pushed an agenda for the people that gave him money and the power
wow.
that came behind
him. Now you're repeating yourself.
Wow. No, now you're turning them into a prosperity. Now you're turning them into a prosperity.
Okay, look. Look, you got about a while. Why don't we take about another minute and a half that everybody can jump
I'm
and
done.
Ask questions on.
I'm done.
Okay.
No.
Everybody
I would just like to say, I'm going to keep it real short. I'd just like to say, looking back in retrospect, I can understand what Lo is saying. I can understand that.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. For those people that like Martin Luther King and saw Martin Luther King as something different, there was a man before Martin Luther King is what I'm trying to tell y'all. And
first.
They pushed him out of the way and they didn't put him in the history.
Trying to say he was
let King
first, and that's what they're trying
place.
To say.
Wait
a
minute, one
at a
time, please.
Why does everyone
want
to talk to this?
What I'm trying to tell Lo and those that don't know, the reason the march started was a man in Tuskegee. They raped this girl, and the whole community was upset about it. So this man, I can't think of his name for nothing. But anyway, they moved him out of the way and put Martin Luther King in his place because he
Dr.
had a different
Vernon
view.
John came before
he had
MLK.
He had a different view than Martin Luther King did.
Yeah.
His view was not what Martin Luther King had. His was the white man was going to do business with us, not us do business with him.
Years later, they're gonna celebrate Martin Luther King like quote unquote Jesus Christ, and people are gonna argue over what he did, Jesus Christ did.
All they're doing with Martin Luther King is they having a celebration and making money, and people going around singing speeches. That's all they're doing.
Is the speech that he did that he was against the Vietnam War and why? Because I think that applies today to the wars that we're in now.
Well,
thank you, Antoinette. Excuse me for interrupting. Let me welcome this lady on the line.
When he brought me the green thing, hey, man.
Hello,
Miss
Lady.
This reminds me of everything Neely Fuller Jr. talked about, is that black people just cannot agree on anything we talk.
Right.
Joe's white, so it's not all black people.
It's just terrible, and it's nothing's changing. I mean, it's just really sad to me to hear all this disparagement of Martin Luther King when he died. He put his life on the line, and I don't think anybody on this line would have done the same.
Yes, those
people
that walked on the other Peterson Bridge with Martin Luther King put their lives in danger.
But
if you were down in Montgomery, Alabama to see
Jesse Jackson was there, too, and he's still alive.
Listen, what was the name of that gentleman you were talking about?
I can't think of his
name. Oh, was that Abernathy?
No, it wasn't Abernathy. He was part of bringing Martin Luther King
to the situation. Dr. Vernon John came before MLK.
Yes, right, and they moved him out of the way. Thank you. I was born there, and I saw him.
Okay, but Vernon John didn't have TV, so what?
You
didn't have
TV
to tell the story.
So what? That don't mean nothing, Lo. So what you saying?
It's the same thing that happened with Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks, she was not the first person to sit down on the bus, but everybody took the picture of her and made her the person. She was not the original person.
Because she fit the perfect profile. The other one didn't fit
a
good profile.
There you go. Tell the truth about it.
It was the profile.
That's not a
secret,
though.
In front of the people. Because a lot of people were not happy.
In context with what the thinking and what was going on.
It was already
there.
Going on before he even came
That's
there.
That's true. It was coordinated. Rosa Parks was coordinated. Then they asked Martin Luther King to come in.
He was
said
coordinated
yes.
too, Joe. He was coordinated too because it was already
right.
happening
yeah.
before Martin
so
Luther King
yeah, but
put in Montgomery,
yeah, right.
Alabama.
That's true.
When you say they, who is they?
There
the white people.
The people.
No.
It wasn't them. It was a maid. It was the cab drivers and all those people. They had started to walk to work every day before Martin Luther King up
their
foot in that
It was a
place.
Selma boycott. Mm-hmm. Right. For 4 years, that boycott went on
before the
Civil Rights Movement actually had some momentum. That's part of history books. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's a part of any business. You're going to have to start small before you get to any momentum.
That's
any
right.
movement is going
to
work
that
way.
Factually.
Michael and the cheerleaders showed up together, huh?
But
no,
not
we speak of facts together. Don't worry about it.
Let Lady finish what she was going to say.
Well,
what I'm saying is that they do not recognize the person, the reason the march started. They used Martin Luther King, but they never looked at that man or either that woman before Rosa Parks. It was two before her. But they used her to come in there with those people that already had began the march.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that, though? I mean, what? if they became the focal point
because...
There's
nothing wrong with that, Joe. There's nothing wrong with that. There's always going to be somebody to start something. That doesn't mean they're going to be the one to end it. That doesn't mean they're going to be the one to even get things done.
Exactly.
There's always a starting point.
You don't speak to my part of Black America.
What do you
mean? Okay, so, I mean, there's differences of opinion.
I just told the truth.
That's
what I'm saying. They don't even recognize those people.
He was a spokesperson for it.
They don't recognize
the
people.
Other people was behind him. See,
well, of course.
He was a spokesperson. He wasn't a leader.
But
nobody's
trying
to
hide the fact that Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks were not the prominent, let's say, the beginning.
Y'all know that. But why don't they won't tell why the reason why the whole thing started. If you go down to the beginning, you can come see where the middle, the beginning started, and then the middle, and then the end. But if you're not looking at the beginning, you're not going to see the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Because
see,
if the beginning,
I know
if it would have ended up the way
Michael,
it did, because there's a lot of people died. I mean,
the only
Martin
thing
King
I don't understand
is
what
is
the significance of whether or not Martin Luther King
on his phone wanting to pick up the flag, the banner, and promote justice.
How you know some of the people on this phone were not there in the march?
I'll wait to see you march. I'll just wait.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I think it would be a lot easier if everyone spoke one at a time.
Okay.
So that we're not speaking over top of each other. So that way it can be heard, because it's really hard to get everyone's point when everyone's speaking at one time.
So what I'm
saying, Ms. Lady, can you go ahead and finish talking, Ms. Lady? We haven't heard Ms. Lady.
Okay,
Ms. Lady. No, I just think, it's just really a concept that just Black people cannot agree on. Anything, it seems like, never. It's always, you take a leader, Martin Luther King, has been put in the position as a Black civil rights leader, and it doesn't take too long for him to just start being torn down, attacked on every level, when he's not even putting things in context. You don't know the ins and outs. You weren't there. So I just
Lowe wasn't even born when Martin Luther King was
around. How do you know who was there
and
who was not?
A little bit more.
Lowe wasn't even alive.
Finish, for God's sake.
Can you say? Thank you.
Wow, you got Sister Agonia doing that?
Right.
Wait a minute, Martin Luther King
would be against that. Shame on you.
Wait a minute, Beasley. Let Sister Agonia speak, please.
He says he could
well,
be a witch.
I just wanted to
excuse me, y'all.
I just wanted to say that I warned y'all I was going to play with Mr. Talk's toys. But anyway, in response to Miss Lady, Black people have, quote, Black people have never been a monolith. And I think it's a myth that we are unlike any other people in the fact that we don't agree on a lot of things. I invite you to go on some of these talk show calls and listen to our cousins in America.
Yep.
They argue just as much as we do. I can testify to it, okay?
And you got a
sitting
over there in that chair arguing with us, too.
Excuse me, I'm not finished.
Let him go.
I'm not finished.
Okay.
And if you think that's not true, then all you got to do is ask yourself a question about World War One, World War Two.
I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Who was that fighting each other? And then go back and look at the Hundred Years' War, the War of the Roses,
and so forth and so on,
are not the only people that can't agree on everything. That is a myth that I really get tired of hearing.
And the North and the South are still at war with each other.
Black people are on the lowest part of the poll in terms of in all the categories. I think if we agreed on something a little bit more, we'd be further along because we'd be working in cohesion instead of having to be right all the time.
Man is
I'm not suggesting that we
shouldn't
cooperate with each other. Excuse me, Miss Lady, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't cooperate with each other. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just speaking to the fact that every time we have disagreements, somebody wants to point the finger and say, oh, we can't never get along. We can't never do anything. Well, I think if
Good
that
point.
Was true,
there wouldn't be 40 million of us still left because they intended to kill all of us off a long time ago. That's all I'm saying.
We have different curriculums about Martin Luther King. That's
we
crazy.
We have different opinions.
Opinions.
Well,
that's all.
Right, but we have to stay
some
with the
like
facts.
Some
okay.
didn't, and some know what happened, and some don't. If you
know,
don't know what
right.
happened,
fine.
Understand.
Just sounds, and for me, it just sounds just so demeaning, disrespectful.
Well,
it's
supposed to.
Well, if you really know, if just like I said, you got to know where the beginning started. If you don't, you're gonna be right there in the middle, and that's what you see.
I think we lost the essence of Lowe's original question, which was, what did Martin Luther King do for the people as a whole?
But what do you expect him to do for the people
regards to how it affected you and the rest of us? As opposed to him having a personal, agenda.
You can't even finish your thought with this.
He helped
put
an end to forced segregation.
Everyone has an agenda. Who doesn't have an agenda?
All right, I'm done.
Who doesn't have an agenda?
Go ahead, Andrew. Hold on,
Miss Lady.
I'm done with it.
Who doesn't have an agenda in politics, activism, community organization, foundations? Everyone has an agenda. Come on, man.
That's not what I'm saying. We lost the essence of his question, which is, what did he do for the people
right.
that didn't involve a personal agenda?
May I answer yeah. that question?
I think that's where he was going with that. I might
okay.
be wrong, but that's how I got
to be
it.
Safer.
Excuse me, Sister Agonia, you have background noise. I don't know where it's coming from. I'll try to find
man,
it.
It's crazy.
I can't hear her background noise
agenda.
With five
personal
people talking
agenda.
At once.
Okay,
I know, and that's another thing. Could we please make it one at a time?
Well, you know what? It was working when Joe was calling one person at a time.
Right.
Yeah, where are you, Joe?
I'm over here. As I said, let's go ahead. Everybody was gone.
But it was working when you were doing that, Joe. Why don't you
yeah.
continue it that way?
Yeah.
It really was working.
Antoinette's taking over the co-hosting position.
No, I'm not. Go ahead,
not?
Joe. You got this. No,
oh, okay.
no,
Antoinette
you got
was
it.
Invited
too, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah,
I
know you invited
was,
Antoinette, so that's
now
why.
Now we have an argument about
who's
for sure. Remember yesterday. I was late, Joe, but you
no
got
problem.
This.
What I wanted to do was just let, because we know that on this show, we usually have people jumping in, but I just wanted to let people who came in, who didn't have a chance to speak when they were new callers, just to have a few minutes to let their expressions be known, and then everybody can jump in. Okay?
Yeah,
but it'll be done faster. Go ahead,
Beasley. We've got it now, so let Beasley do his thing, and everybody can jump in.
I'll be real quick. You know, Martin Luther King,
hello.
You know, you don't understand what he did do because you're young, but what he helped to do, no matter how he did it, but with his practicing nonviolence, it showed the brutality of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it showed the brutality of this other side, and by displaying their brutality, just for sitting in lunch counters, for when they blew up the 16th Street Baptist Church and killed the four little girls, a lot of things had to happen. It showed public opinion, even among white people, they saw that there had to be a change, and it was wrong. People that didn't necessarily care and that were on the fence. He also pushed, and through his efforts, you got the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which you may not think is that important, but it is that important because what it did, it made it against federal law to discriminate against people when it came to housing. There were neighborhoods that had covenants that were adhered to by real estate agents that didn't let black people move in neighborhoods that were qualified to, that didn't allow black people to get loans from banks.
that people discriminated against publication, and now those are federal laws that are enforced, not all the time, and it's still not justice, and it's still not 100% right, but it's a lot better than what it was. And
redlining.
And you're saying that he had a personal agenda, like one of these prosperity pimp preachers of the day, and that's just not true. This man gave his life. Was he a perfect man? Did it's come out that he's had affairs? It's come out that he smoked cigarettes. You know, and none of us are perfect. But the man gave his life, and yes, we've all benefited from it.
We've all benefited
from it, and the reasons that I just explained, and there's probably some more.
Can I say something? When Martin Luther King came along, he didn't do that by himself. It was the people that are already together to do it. He just stepped
right
in with them. So we don't get no credit for the people that was around him. You don't have no pictures of them unless you go down into the museum in Montgomery, Alabama. You'll see the people that were there before Martin Luther King got there.
Everything
and those same
has a
people
face. Every
still walking
has a
the earth
face.
Today and still talking in this plane. When you see them people go across that Edison Peterson Bridge,
right,
when they march across it,
Selma,
you
Alabama.
Need to go have a conversation with some of them, and they will direct
right
you to the real history, not this history that was created.
Right.
That's what I say.
He
there's something wrong with the history,
the
books, and the truth is not in it.
Go watch Eyes on the Prize.
Of course, that were involved, and he had to push the agenda forward. Does it mean that he should not be
everybody
honored
is not with him?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
the school teachers, the people.
Wait
up.
Look,
may
it may be unfair that there were a lot of people
throat
who are not given the same kind of credit that he was. But the thing is, neither are the white people who did go shoulder to shoulder and arm in arm with them. There are a lot of people who haven't been given the credit. But that doesn't take away
you
from
keep
his,
on talking about the
that
white
doesn't
people,
take away
people, was
from Martin Luther King's importance, does it?
Well, may I say something? You know, he had to have some importance and made a big impact because the government had been found guilty of assassinating Martin Luther King, and that was in the late 90s, I believe, and I put the link in the chat room for you.
What are you talking about?
The government had been found guilty of assassinating Martin Luther King.
That was my
mock
trial answer.
What
are you talking about?
And they
were
also guilty of spying on the people.
Come on,
this
got
you got to get the facts.
That's not a fact.
That was done by a mock trial.
You see, Joe, this is what Africa
okay
is.
You know what? I just found a one link for you, but you can go and do your own research. They were found guilty.
I was alive then. If that was, then who went to prison if they were found guilty?
This happened in the late 90s where they were found guilty.
The thing is, Antoinette, is that they were found guilty by a mock trial by other people who weren't involved with the government, who found not only did James Earl Jones not pull the trigger, but they found some other stuff, too, with relation to other famous cases. So, yeah.
Not James Earl Jones. James Earl Ray.
James Earl Ray, sorry.
Earl Major, the great.
But I'm
I gotta
I'm
watch you people. You guys are people are gonna slip some. You guys are putting disinformation out here.
what I'm saying.
Thinking about what Martin Luther King, the positive things he contributed. Was that Beasley?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. You know,
and I did that. And I did that off the cuff.
Thank you. You did wonderful. And then they found the civil rights. I mean, people were able to go to college and get grant money, sometimes for the very first time, and move into the middle class.
They were going to
college and be able to be employed with certain jobs. And so it opened up the door where people were able to, for the first time, buy homes and send their kids to college.
No. People already had homes. They had everything that they needed except a school system that was up to par with books not sitting.
I know people that talked about it. They were able to do that because of the civil rights era.
They were not going to school before then.
No one in their families had been to college previous to that.
How did Booker T. Washington
for black students? A lot of that has been taken away now. That's been the agenda. They gave it. They gave black people about 30 years and said that's enough.
It was funny. It was funny. Miss Mays was talking, and you cut her off when you had shut
up. Shut up. That's country boy.
They had. I'm telling you, they had Tuskegee Institute.
Right.
Not everybody
came along, and you had like doctors, like nurses. You have, like, lawyers. You have, like, everything you need.
Right.
Only thing that
you
didn't have was
Meharry Medical College that still graduates.
The best that it was in the country.
75% of black doctors.
It was expanded to not
the best that it was, and it's still standing
still
today.
Everybody was traveling to Alabama to go study.
Mm-hmm.
That
was the one. That's
they
the downside.
Langston.
That's
they
the
had
downside.
Langston. They had them in Texas. They had black the colleges all
oh,
over the
please.
Place. Before Martin Luther
okay,
King
excuse
along.
Me for interrupting, but I need to ask the co-host what
yeah.
time the show ends when we go into overtime.
It's already in overtime.
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
clock.
Anytime
it's a
after,
clock.
Yeah, we're already 20 minutes into overtime. So
it'll go for an hour, and then it'll cut
yeah.
off automatically.
But
what
okay,
I'll
put
automatically.
Yeah, I have put another link in. From the King Family Center on
excuse
the
me.
Family trial, the transcript.
Stop for a second, Antoinette, please. Okay, go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
What are you going
to
ask
but
me?
I didn't get to hear because the answer was given by several people at one time. This is the first time I've done this, so I need to know, once we go into overtime,
mm-hmm.
what time does the show end? From
in
zero,
1 hour.
Well, like
1 hour.
Yeah, because
it'll cut off automatically.
Yeah, we're into overtime now.
Still three
20
people
minutes.
Talking, so I can't get the answer. I'm
it's
so sorry.
Sonya, I gave it to you in a p.m.
Okay.
Well, I want it now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
6 o'clock.
You
I
have an
into,
hour,
go,
so
hold on.
6 o'clock.
All right, never mind. I guess y'all just ain't going to let me hear the answer. I'll go to the p.m.
Sister Gonya, up until 6 o'clock.
Eastern
at
Standard
6 o'clock.
Time. Eastern
yeah.
Standard Time. There we go.
Yeah,
thank
so
you very
you can
much.
Shut it down at any time that you want. You're already
yeah.
in overtime.
Right.
So at
I
any
already
time
knew
that.
I wanted to know what you know when it runs out.
Yeah,
it
you have an hour, so it goes
in,
till
as
6.
As Antu said, in an hour. So that means 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And
well,
I
thank everyone
time.
For answers, but I couldn't hear any of them because they were all coming from everybody. But I want to thank everybody for all your help.
Yeah,
thank
thanks for all
much.
The chaos and confusion, people.
And they can still help each other.
Yeah, we have four hosts today, four hosts on the All Facts, on the Mr. Talk Show. We have four
yes,
hosts.
Yes, and I invite the co-host posse to help me out, and I want to thank everybody.
Right, Jody, Joe, and,
because you guys make the show. So thank
true.
You very much, everybody.
You guys do make the show.
And Joe, you did good. You didn't say one first word today.
Wait a minute. It's not over yet, Aunt Lily.
Just keep on talking.
It's like that. What was that movie that what's that guy that comedian was in? Oh shit!
The light bulb on. Leave it alone.
The Jewish comedian is always imitating Muhammad Ali. The little guy.
We don't know.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah, right. When he was doing that, whatever that movie was, and he said to Jack Palance, he said, "Ah, you haven't killed anybody today, honey." And Jack Palance says, "Still got some daylight left."
Okay, got some daylight left. I'll be a
slipper.
Got some left.
James Earl Jones, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, okay, James Earl Jones. James
it happens.
Ray,
it happens.
You know, sorry.
That's
but that was a good question, Lo. What has Martin Luther King done for you know?
I don't think that was a good question.
I do. I think it's a very good question.
Because I don't think it should be even the thought that one person should be able to change the system of racism that we live in and have always lived in, that responsibility should be put on one person's shoulder.
Well,
yeah,
that's
the
right
question.
Miss Lady, that's
what
he did with the negative tone.
In the history of the system,
he
put on one person's shoulder to be recognized as one person.
Miss Lady, my point in saying that it's a good question is in the sense that people, you know, even when it's just one person, the message is translated in a myriad of different ways. That's why I'm saying it's a good question because it has a certain effect for me. It has a certain effect for you. It's got a certain effect for Joe, All Facts, Sister Ngoni, Antoinette, everybody on the line, everybody in the chat room.
No,
that's a good question.
You
don't get his message. You crazy.
What other message did he give out for saying, listen, we're going to put something in law
documented that if we do get discriminated against, whether, you know, whether we can prove it or not, at least it's down on law, some facts are down, time, date, and place, where senator says if this so happens in this country, we can take the ass to court, we can sue them, we can get money, or you can go to jail.
It also brings up,
all I said was the brother asked the
question. Right.
It
does bring up the point where people can have different points of view, as Mays was talking about and Lady was talking about and as I brought up. It's good to have different points of view.
And you shouldn't get on that.
The stuff that Mays was talking about, the stuff that Mays was talking about was stuff that I hadn't even thought about. That there were people before him, there were people before Rosa Parks, and logic should tell you that, yeah. But that's not what
you hear. That wasn't even a question, though.
Rosa Parks was hand selected.
That wasn't even a question.
That was a point that
you're missing.
All of it is intertwined together. That's how it started.
No, why would I ask,
you're missing my point.
Ask you a question about Martin Luther King and you talk about people before him? No, that's
because
Martin Luther King gets so much credit.
Because
he gets so much credit. And there's a lot of people that died and suffered and sacrificed
who are
and
not
fought
even
for
known.
The cause that, yeah. that don't get acknowledgement. That's why.
Right.
No,
why?
I understand that. No, I did not tell you give me the black
no,
the history of black people or civil rights.
Obvious.
The
it's
question
it's
was, what did Martin Luther King, so stay focused on that. Stay focused on
right.
what
good
the Eastern should
great
be.
Good
point. That's
what
I'm
saying. And that's why, come on. That's why,
I'll love it all together.
Well, that is all.
I don't have any problem with her answer.
It's a puzzle that goes together. If you leave one part of the puzzle, you don't get the picture.
I'm not going to sleep over it.
No,
I'm just saying that's
learn.
How things can get confusing
okay.
in the
we
conversation.
We want you to learn and live.
But, you know, I think you should add something else, too. From Lowe's perspective, he was born in 1976. Martin Luther,
Five.
He was born. 75, excuse me, close enough.
75?
Yeah, he's
okay.
a puppy. He's a puppy. Martin Luther King was murdered
right.
7 years before he was killed.
Well, it says it's all contextual. We didn't live there.
I mean, 7 years before he was born.
You didn't
exactly.
live
so
there
those of us.
Not.
Now, I was still a child, but I do remember things. And there's people on this line that are older than me that actually witnessed and watched what was taking place. It was a paradigm
I saw
in
it.
This country.
I saw it. I saw
a lot
it.
Of people,
I saw it.
See, some people that wasn't there don't remember that. You know, you had to go in the back of the line to go to the doctor. You had to go through the color fountains. You had to do all of these things, you know. That was part of the situation.
Oh, you
could
try and close.
Law ain't never even
store.
Had to do that in Louisiana. He doesn't
you
know.
You could not go into certain department stores.
Lady's telling y'all all about
clothes.
It, but she don't. Y'all don't want to listen. Lady.
And when those people stopped doing it, when they did the bus bark out and they stopped doing it, that opened up some ass because the money wasn't rolling anymore.
There yeah,
you
but
go.
Like I said before,
and when the maid
Dr.
stopped cleaning
Vernon
houses,
John, Dr. Vernon John tried that prior to MLK.
Thank you. And what happened
but
to him?
I, you know what?
They bust him in the head with a bloody club and put him in jail.
A group of deacons got together and ran him out of town. That's why he
absolutely.
Was never to be served again.
A great movie, that was not right. Right. A great movie to
that
watch
was,
about his life is the Dr. Vernon John story.
And that's where the Civil Rights March started.
All these laws. See, like the segregation laws, no one told black people that you must live around white people. It says we give you the right. We give you the choice. Just like voting. It doesn't say we must vote, just like Australia does.
Well, let me explain something to you, Mike.
It says you have the right to. So having the right and saying you must do something is two different things. Now, look, it was a Martin Luther King problem if all the black people wanted to migrate and segregate. If that, some people say that was the problem, desegregation was the problem. No, it just gave you the right and choice, factually.
They didn't have the choice to even get married to white people back then, Mike. So what are you talking about?
So people did what the hell they wanted to do.
On the books, by law, they could not marry each other, either black or white people, to each other.
Yeah,
well,
I enjoy this show, but I listen like everybody else. If I hear somebody else talking, I'm going to shut up so somebody else can talk.
Come on,
no.
A break.
Talk one person at a time.
Well, here's one thing I wanted to say. There was another show that I came.
He must be drinking that yak.
about a few months ago where I came across one of the original leaders of the civil rights movement, and I don't know if Mays will agree with me on that, but this is during the time of Martin Luther King, and he said that the major agenda of the leader of the civil rights movement back then was not for integration. It was for segregation.
It
was for blacks.
It was not for segregation. It was for them to stop raping children and doing stuff like that to kids and finding people over in the branches dead where they done killed them. That's what it really was about.
Okay.
And he finished talking? Wow.
What did you say,
Mays? Well, what you said was true. I mean, it was against having, of course, people being raped and murderized and burned, all
lynched.
That. But the thing, yeah, and that too.
One
the
of
the
due process under the law.
What people did not know was that the leaders didn't necessarily want this mass integration policy. What they wanted was the right for them to do it if they wanted. They didn't want the busing.
They probably didn't think it was possible.
What,
they
the busing or the...
probably knew how difficult it would be, and they probably thought it was insurmountable. And that's another thing that makes Martin Luther King a great man. He took on this system. He took it on. Yeah, he had help, but he was brave enough to take it on.
And he died for it.
And he used his intelligence. But one thing about it is, see, during that time, black people had their own cab companies and bus companies. But, see, the black people wanted to say, you know what? I want to ride in the next to white people, so they start going to the white bus companies.
It wasn't that. You had two societies, particularly in the South. You had one black and one white, and unfortunately, it wasn't separate but equal, as the Supreme Court ruled. It was two different classes and two different qualities, and the white folks had things better, and they still got things better today.
But Mays is also right. She's right on point, too, when she was saying that, of course, you had the two blacks, two different societies, Beasley. But if the blacks crossed over into the white society, they would get beaten, raped, et cetera, et cetera. And white society could cross over into the black neighborhoods to specifically commit crime and do it with impunity. So part of the civil rights movement was to get rid of those laws which gave white people the feeling and the authority that they could do anything to black people. Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. To me, it's envying your oppressor. Okay, well, they have nice stuff. We live mediocre, so when I get to their level,
why not have nice stuff?
They had
well,
nice
why
stuff.
The white
that
bus
the
companies was better than the blacks.
They had nice stuff.
When the blacks
stuff.
Already had their bus companies and cab companies.
Can I give an example?
It came along when the Bill Cosby Show came along. That's how black people live. Did the majority
of the black people have nice stuff or not? No. You only had a few. You have a whole heck
more than
of
a few.
White people that
more
had
than
everything.
More than a few.
Black people. You have, thank you.
Far more than a few where I come from.
That's true. There's only a few. You're right.
Can I break that down to you too,
Lowe? Somebody explain to me why the Cosby Show was popular. I could never think.
Because that's the way black people live.
They thought that's the way black people should live.
It was funny.
You know
what?
It was funny
to
white people.
And they were living that way all along.
It wasn't funny
though. Black people were living like that in the 80s? Are you serious?
They sure was. What you mean?
White people or black people?
Low been in Louisiana.
The majority of black people were living like that in the 80s.
Not the majority. The majority of white people don't have a doctor and a doctor for a father and a lawyer
agree.
For a mother.
I agree. But Mays just said,
they
were living like that.
Low, who do you think? What do you think?
They still have a nice life.
I'm gonna put it this way.
They still have a nice life. They didn't only have to have a high school diploma. In fact, they could still get a job. They could still buy a house. They could still get better interest rates. They still had nicer communities. They still had better food. So what?
They
didn't address any of that in the Cosby Show. They just gave the show.
I think the positivity of the show was that it showed black people in an extremely positive, uplifting light.
But that was that. Regardless of whether it's normal, can he finish?
Wait. Regardless of whether you agree with it or not, in terms of whether it's reality, that was the first show. That was the first show that black people had where you had, like Beasley said, you had two professionals, you had kids going to college. The only reason why Lisa Bonet got kicked off the show was when she did that Angel Heart movie with Mickey Rourke where she was doing nudity and sex scenes, and that was just some political nonsense. However, it showed...
Can he finish? Shut up!
However, I think
the popularity of the show is that for a change, just for a change, it showed black people being productive. It showed black people being uplifting. It showed them in an extremely where they had a functional family. The mother's there. The father's there. The kids are functional, regardless of, and they were just doing natural kid stuff. However, there was this hierarchy that was in order. There was a nuclear family that was in order. And you notice that ever since that show has gone off TV, all the family shows ever since are completely dysfunctional. Doesn't matter
now,
if they're black or white.
Now, MK,
hold on a second, man.
They had good time. Now, explain that one.
I wanted to bring up good times.
Good times, the other end, but it was still a family.
Yeah, good times was the thing. But the thing was...
still a family.
Yeah, but the thing was with the Cosby Show, that was not the first show to show a black family. Now, Bill Cosby had another show prior to that. Diane Carroll had a show prior to that. Which showed people, good
right.
black people.
She was
the
nurse. That was a big deal. She was Julia.
But she was a single mom, Joe.
Which black people could identify with. That's why I can't see why black people like the Cosby Show.
She's 5 years of college.
She wasn't a single mom. Her husband got killed in the military. She wasn't
a single mom.
My point is, Maze, there was no dad there.
Yeah, she was married at one time. That's why she was not.
But that wasn't a part of the show. That wasn't a part of the show.
But what I was saying, like, if you look
damn,
at the Cosby Show.
Damn, you guys are old.
I'm saying you look at the Cosby Show and you look at Good Time and you're looking like, this is nothing new to us. We see this every day. So
I understand that.
We had a show prior to the Cosby Show, which was the same, which wasn't exactly the same format, but it showed a, in the black community, it was different than Good Times. It showed stability. That's what I'm saying.
Right. But my point, Joe, is that as the black community is perceived, we don't get a lot of shows like that. We're talking about what? One, maybe two, maybe three shows?
I can name a few. It was a breakthrough at that time. You had Sanford and Son. That was super popular.
But see, you look at what about the Jeffersons? Can I ask a question?
Well, the Jeffersons too. That's right. That was a stable.
The Jeffersons
like
moved on up
question.
To the east side to a deep apartment in the sky.
But see, that was a problem.
Does anybody know what the demographics were for the Cosby Show?
At the same time, nobody hear nobody.
Yeah, but when you were watching that, well, when you were watching Bonanza and you were watching the Beverly Hillbillies, Jethro and what's her name didn't have a mother. That was their uncle. And nobody was looking at that as being ignorant.
Yeah, they had Leave It or Beaver and all that. But here's my question.
Okay,
East Coast had asked a question earlier, and I think it applies to this where we are today. I wish I had the mute button, but here's the thing. I just want to know what the demographics were for the Cosby Show. Were there mainly black people watching it?
No, it couldn't have been that popular, sold advertising if white people didn't watch it, too.
Hold on. I'm younger than everybody on this phone. I'm gonna tell you like this.
A lot of people watch Cosby Show.
A lot of my classmates that I talked to and I asked when we got grown, hey, you ever watched Cosby Show? No. White people never watched that. You don't have to believe me. I'm telling you, it was mostly black people watching that show
from the dark ages
because it made them feel good.
East Coast had asked, in reverence to what Martin Luther King did as far as economics, how does it apply then and how does it apply today?
The same way.
He didn't get a chance to do anything about economics when he started talking about economic inequality that killed him.
Okay, let me say something here. Finally.
Let's
just start going here because she's the host today.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be nice. I got the power, y'all. I ain't meeting nobody. Okay.
Shot somebody.
I got the power. Wow.
Okay. Now, everything you guys, the points that you're making are great. But you know what? And this is not to take anything away from Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy. But you see what we're doing? You see, they lulled us to sleep with those TV programs you're all talking about. Because, you see, they gave us when you live vicariously through other people. Seeing that on television made us get all warm and fuzzy, thinking we had really arrived and we really accomplished something. But look at
good
where
point.
We are.
Great point.
They're still lynching people. They're still raping people. They're still redlining people. They're still charging black people more for houses than they charge other folks for the same house. Even Oprah Winfrey paid millions of dollars more for the house that she had bought than it was worth on the market.
That cost more than any statue down there on that mall.
Sorry, Maze, I didn't understand you.
I said his statue that they built for him cost more than any statue anywhere has ever been built in this country.
And it doesn't even look like him. It looks like a Chinese man.
You know why, Antoinette?
Because the Chinese
man. Good times of Cosby Show. Was it the good times of Cosby Show? What do you want to portray as black people?
What?
Good times of Cosby Show. Or something
like to see both.
Well, if you knew people, if you knew human beings in both,
come on now.
Because, and I'm gonna be honest with you all, Fats. I relate more to good times than I do to the Cosby Show, because I didn't grow up in that household with a mom that was a lawyer and a father that was a doctor.
You say you only want to see your good times, because see, I never watched The Wire. I come from Baltimore. Why would I watch The Wire? I never have to watch The Wire, so I don't want to see something
show,
that I normally see. I want to see Doofus. Well, yeah, I understand. People always tell me you never saw it. No, I never see it. Never want to watch it.
I was more interested in watching the Beverly Hillbillies than I was the Cosby.
I love the Beverly Hillbillies. That's what I was being watching.
Have
you guys ever noticed that back in the day, the shows that we're talking about, the only time that during those family shows, that the only time in America that at that time they had actual shows with single fathers, which you never see. You had The Courtship of Eddie's Father. You had My Three Sons. The Courtship of Eddie's Father. You had Family Affair with Buffy
Affair.
And Jody.
Well, he was the uncle.
Right,
right.
But I'm saying
they were single
males heading a household with no females.
It might have been because gay men were writing the show. You know, they were the ones writing the script.
Right,
you know,
and that was probably a part of society, though.
Wait a minute, let us finish your statement, please.
You know what, but I really did not like Sanford and Son. I never liked it, and I'm going to tell you why. Every time, they lived in a horrible dump, right? Every time his son was trying to come up with a plan and work a plan to get out of the dump, something negative would happen. They'd have to stay there. That's where Red Fox wanted to stay. He did not want to progress. He did not want to leave that dump.
That's a
generational divide. That older people are set their ways, and younger people have these ideas, and older people are crazy.
Stuff, right? brainwash black people into thinking that's where you belong, in the bottom of the heap at the dump. And no matter what you do, no matter how much you want to strive to get out of it, no matter what your goals and dreams are, you're going to get, you're going to have to stay right in that dump.
And then Jefferson
don't show me Red Fox a rich man, though.
I didn't get that from that show. I didn't get that.
He died broke. Lamont was trying to get out, and then his father was so happy to just stay there in that rocking chair, or whatever, and call
junk
that black
man.
Boy all kind of names.
He was a junk man.
Know,
that's what he known. He
y'all know from, why I did? Y'all know why I didn't watch those shows? Because I haven't seen that. That wasn't nothing new to me. But those other shows were new to me because I had never seen nothing like it before, and I was interested.
I didn't get that from San Francisco.
That's the
reception I got. What made the Cosby Show so funny? Because if you take a look at some of the older shows, like Beverly Hillbillies was somewhat funny. If you take a look at Beaver, Leave It to Beaver, or some of the other family shows that were around the 50s, 60s,
and
70s.
All them shows were funny,
I
want to
know what made them funny. I never found any of
them
funny.
My favorite, and I ain't going to lie, my favorite was Archie Bunker. That was my favorite.
I loved Archie Bunker. Oh, wow. He was wonderful.
Archie Bunker. And you know what I loved about Archie Bunker was that he treated everybody the same.
He was a big
everybody. He had a black goddaughter in real life.
And his son committed suicide.
He sure did.
Yeah, but then he gonna
OD'd on drugs.
But his son was smoking out of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He can't put it on.
Mm-hmm. OD'd on drugs.
And I loved Archie Bunker because he was very stereotypical, but in the sense that he was stereotypical, you know who he made the most fun of? Was white people. It wasn't black people. It was white people he made fun of. What did he call his son-in-law all the time?
Excuse me, N2K. Sister Gonya is trying to say something.
My bad.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to let you guys know that we're going to end the show in a few minutes and thank everybody for your contributions. And N2K, please finish what you were saying.
I just wanted to say Archie Bunker was the bomb because he discriminated in a sense that it didn't matter who it was. He didn't like Jews. He didn't like people from Europe. If you weren't from Queens, he didn't like you. And the only people that he invited in his house as friends, ironically, were black. It was the Jeffersons, Lionel, and his mom and dad. Those were the people he was closest to. With all the racist shit he did, those were the people he was closest to. And I thought that was very ironic about that show. I love Archie Bunker. Love it.
Thank you, NTJ. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're getting close to the end now, and I wanted to let Joe and Antoinette see if they have anything to say. I'm sorry that I can't give everybody last words because I wanted to, you know, go ahead and close out now. And, again, thank everybody again for a great show. You guys always make the show great, and I hope Mr. Talk will be proud. Joe and Antoinette, can you want to say anything?
Yeah, I have nothing to say. I usually don't say much. Go ahead, Antoinette.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you again for being here and helping out. I appreciate it a lot.
Sure, no problem, Antoinette.
All right. Antoinette? I hope I didn't mute her.
Well,
I might have
muted her. She's making a sandwich. So nobody else has any time to say a few words?
We got 12 minutes, and let me open everybody up and see here. Okay, thank you, Joe. Okay.
Sure.
Michael, you have closing words?
Yeah, you guys can come and check me out tonight around 9, and great show. I just wanted to say, hey, Martin Luther King, just to say he did nothing for black people. He strived for laws.
When he came out in the public, he didn't bring his religion. He talked about the law, the Constitution, things that we can put in writing. And, you know, of course he was a minister, but and he preached in churches. But when he came into the public scene, it was all about politics. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if he would have went into politics. So that's all I wanted to say. Great show.
Thank you, Michael. Miss May, do you have any parting words?
Well, I had fun today with a little bit of walking history.
Yes,
I have a good one.
Antoinette, are you back?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Miss Mays.
Mm-hmm.
Antoinette, you're up.
Oh,
no, I was going to let her go because she's
last.
Co-host, if that's okay.
Sure.
Is that okay, Antoinette?
Sure.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Miss Lady, do you have any parting words?
Oh, just have a great weekend, and I'm just thankful for Martin Luther King and everybody else who has helped me and ours to move forward, even if it's just a little bit in life. I thank all of you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Who else now, Antonia?
Let me see here. Mr. Beasley.
Rub bees.
Mr. Beasley.
I got a quote from Machiavelli. There are three classes of intellects, one which comprehends by itself, another which appreciates what others comprehend, and a third which neither comprehends by itself nor by the showing of others. The first is the most excellent, the second is good, and the third is useless. Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great.
That's a great quote.
Really?
I've been glad.
I wish you were in the chat room, Mr. Beasley, so you could put that in. I would love to make a copy of
that. I heard they ragged me pretty tough in the chat room, but I love them too.
Well, thank you, Mr. Beasley. I'm going to move on. We're running out of time, okay? Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks.
N2K? N2K, do you have any parting words?
Just wanted to say you queens did a great job. Wonderful show. And as always, you know how we get out on Mr. Talk Show. It's on and cracking. So everyone have a wonderful weekend. And I guess we'll get back at it on Tuesday. And I'm out.
Well, thank you. And I think Lo dropped because he'll swear I didn't let him get no parting words, and I swear to y'all that ain't. Okay, I think I got everybody. Antoinette and Joe, you're the last ones, and we've got 7 minutes. And I'm going to, when you guys finish talking, I'm going to take us out with some nice Paul Hardcastle. How's that?
That's great. Well, Joe, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Sister Agonia, I would like to commend you on doing your first primetime show by yourself, not by yourself, but as you being the host. I think you did an excellent job, and I really commend you. And it was a great show, and, Joe, you were an excellent co-host, but it was a really great show. It was very interesting.
Okay,
thank you so much, Antoinette. I really appreciate you and Joe. I couldn't have done it without the whole Mr. Talk family. Joe, your parting words?
Well, like I already said, I don't have much to say. So I usually don't have much to say. So I just want to wish everybody a good weekend, and I hope you were relaxed being the host. And you can give Eric a report about how you did. He'll listen to the show, see that you did fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the more that you do, the more relaxed you'll become.
Yeah.
Well, again, you guys, and with that, I'm going to say good night, and, you know, I don't even think I can play that music. Well, yes, I can. Okay.
You got 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's a 5-minute song. So everybody have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, and here goes some Paul Hardcastle. I hope you enjoy it. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye. Alrighty.
Okay. Bye-bye, folks.
Kembalilah. Itu saja.